Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are you all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To give a piece to the feet, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat. The clash you meet. That'll leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive or motivational track to see successful guests. Promote yourself, masturbate. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
And greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and welcome, 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 everyone. It is Friday night, and of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. It is so good to see you guys here. I see everyone on the phone lines. I see everyone joining us in the chat room. The chat room is open. Wow, I don't know about you guys, but I am so glad today is Friday. It's a good day. Friday's a good day for me. How about you guys? Definitely Friday night because we get a chance to be here live in The Remix. For those of you who did not get an opportunity to listen to the show last week, Brett Panic was on, you definitely want to go back and download both Friday and Sunday night show. All you have to do is go to www.talkradio.com/The Remix and write. All the shows are there. You can also go to iTunes as well, too. You can go to iTunes as well, too, and definitely download all of the remix shows there. It's lots there, so much to listen to, so much to do, and just a wealth of information and a lot of fun. So definitely it's important to keep your archives. So you want to download, download, download. I'll say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone who is joining us in the forum tonight. If there are some new listeners, I want to say peace and greetings and welcome to joining us here from The Remix, and also big up to all of our international listeners who might be listening from all over the world. I know Japan is in the house, the UK is in the house, as well as Ireland in the house. So good to see you in the forum. Good, good, good. Good hearing from you guys. I've gotten all of your emails. It's been a busy week. I'm sure it's been busy for you. If you're listening on the phone and you have not had an opportunity, join us here in The Remix. All you have to do is just come on over. It's real easy to do. www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix. Click the button at the bottom where chat, if you can join in the chat room, and then click sign up. It takes only a short minute, and you can sign up right here on Blog Talk Radio. Join in on the fun in the chat room, as well as get updates to when the remix is going on. So that's always a special treat. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about how to turn it around. Because we're in a special time of the year. We're in what I like to call brown sugar time of the year. So this is when we see a lot of things in nature begin to turn sort of that honey brown sort of color. Even our skin hues in different parts of the world and on the planet begins to turn, just depending on what hemisphere you're on, especially up here on this hemisphere as well, because it's becoming colder. We see a lot of trees, a lot of the grass and all these things sort of kind of going dormant. We're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to also twist it up with a little bit of funky feng shui, and we're going to do our normal chat and chill, have some fun, take some calls. You guys, you know how it is. It's The Remix. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call, and it's so good to have you guys in the house. So now we're going to listen to a little bit of music as we get ready to get into the share tonight as well. And so what I want to invite everybody to do at this time is to go ahead and stand up. you know, get yourself in that position and stand up. Yes, yes, stand up. Mm-hmm. Yes, stand up. And while you're standing up, what I want you to do is I want you to really kind of follow this vibe, you know, kind of like flowing with it. You're going to go with the flow at this particular moment, your own flow, you know, really doing life on your terms. So wherever your energy flows you and wherever that takes you, that's where I want you to go. So turn it up. If you have speakers, I want you to turn it up nice and loud so you can hear this. And I want you to get up and just wherever the vibe makes you flow, tells you to flow, you know, listen to your body, listen to the energy, listen to the beat, listen to the vibe, and just begin to flow with this vibe as we get ready to get into the chat and chill this evening. All right, here we go, everyone. right, everyone. That was Turn the Beat Around. Turn the Beat Around. Yes, 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 yes. That song, that song. Love that song. Hopefully you guys turn around a little bit. That's what we're going to be doing here tonight, turning it around, chatting and chilling. Of course, it's the remix, so you know you know how it is. Peace and greetings, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to see everyone in the house tonight. We just got to turning the beat around a little bit there. Whew. I tell you, got to move a little bit more. Turn the beat around, definitely, definitely. It's always good to do. This is the time of the year to definitely turn some things around. We can look around and see everything in nature, and nature is definitely turning itself around. So this is a good time for us to sort of take this opportunity to turn ourselves around a little bit and really just kind of get ourselves. Yes, I'm kind of out of breath myself a little bit. I'm out of breath a little bit here too. We are live in the remix. We're going to get right to the share right after this.
La 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 la, the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, all right. So yes, yes, yes. Today is November the 18th. And we are definitely, definitely in that time of the year here on the Western Hemisphere, where the planet is really taking itself into what I like to call brown sugar time or winter. You can look around and you can see all the different colors and the shades, and it kind of just reminds you of honey. You know, those things of nature, when you look outside, this brown sugar, when you're looking at it, it just has sort of that beauty about it, that russet red. You know, you can see the leaves turning, you can see grass turning. You can see a lot of these things in nature begin to turn itself around. So this is a good time for us to talk about that. I know this week in readings, some of the questions that has come up have been about certain energies that people are feeling this time of the year. I don't know about you guys, but I'll ask this question. If you're in the chat room, you can definitely respond. And if you're on the phone, we'll definitely hear your responses as well, too. But I want to know how many people have found themselves to be a little tireder lately, feel like their energy level is going down, or sometimes they're fighting just a little bit, trying to stay awake and not go to sleep, you know, just feeling like you're just kind of drowsy a little bit. So if that is a yes for you, I see Jewel in the chat room. She's saying definitely yes for you guys in the chat room. Put a heart in the chat room just to let us know. I just kind of want to see where you are with that, if you're feeling sort of that energy coming upon you, because we're going to talk about that, you know, why that is and what is actually happening. I think most of you know, but I'm just going to share some things with you as well. Okay, someone said they sleep right now. Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, yes, Esther said peaks and valleys. Yes, and that's what most of you are experiencing, the peaks and valley. What is happening is we're not getting, and especially those of you who live up north or towards the north, going up that way, those states, New York, Chicago, Pennsylvania, and those particular places, it's not necessarily because of the daylight savings time. It's sort of like this trick they try to play with the mind that we're actually going to getting more sunlight, you know, so you can have more sunlight. It really has a lot to do with that energy in working hours and just really having daylight hours. What's actually happening is because your body is not actually getting the sun. And also in North Dakota, yes, 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 those who've ever been to Alaska, you know that Alaska deals with this quite more than most of us as well. But definitely what is happening is that your body is not getting enough sunlight. It's not getting enough of that sun. So the first thing I want to suggest to everybody do, if you can do this, is definitely get outside and get some sunlight. Whenever that sunlight is there, you want to go outside and really kind of get yourself into the sunlight. If it's 10 minutes, if it's 15 minutes, it doesn't matter, but really try to get yourself into that particular energy of the sunlight. What is actually happening? And for us, especially those of us that is actually connected to the planet and very much in tune with nature. And I know most of the Remix family that we can all say yes to that. Then what is happening is that your body, just like we also appreciate melanin, we also appreciate the sun as well, too. And what the sun does is it really activates those things, melatonin in the body. And when you're not getting that sunlight, what happens is your melanin begins to rise within you. And so typically this is when you're going into the place of darkness. So it makes you feel as though you're getting tired. Now, here's a suggestion. And this is actually something that I've started to do as well, too. Whenever I feel that, I don't get it too much. I'm in Texas. We still get sunlight. But sometimes I'm feeling that. Try to plan to give yourself a nap throughout the day. Give yourself a nap to do that. That's going to be good. So whether it's a 10-minute nap or 15-minute nap, what you want to do is really sort of kind of balance out that energy within you. So set your timer. You know, for those of you who may be working, maybe you can find sort of like a space. I know some companies that I've worked for in the past, we used to have like little places where you can actually go take a little nap. But you really need to take a nap. Yes, just like they do in kindergarten. Yes. So you need to just take a little nap. You do. That's going to help you tremendously. Now, someone mentioned sun gazing. That's fine if you're in a place where you have enough sun to do that. But if you don't in a place where you don't have enough sun to do that, there's other things that you can begin to do. And also follow along with your body's rhythm and also with nature's rhythm as well. You know, follow those things. Think about the different fruits and the different things to eat at certain times of the day. And Queen Afua's Heal Thyself book, she talks about eating those fruits at the time of rising. When the sun is up, you eat those citrus fruits like oranges and grapefruit and all of these things when the sun is up. When the sun goes down, things like plums and different things. So really sort of kind of following some of that rhythm is also going to help your body stay in tune with where you are. That's going to help you. So we talked about it. Naps is going to help you a lot. This is a time for you to definitely go within. Don't fight it. You know, it's natural for you to do that. You know, we are people who are connected with nature. And so nature is definitely where you want to be. You know, those naps are really, really going to help you. They are. And there is a lot of scientific, it's a lot of scientific studies on naps as well, as they call them, yes, cat naps. And they really energize you more. If you do anything more than 15 or 20 minutes, it's really going to drain you. It's going to have the adverse effect because it's going to take a little too long for you to kind of get yourself back up. So just take a nap throughout the day if that's possible. Another thing that you can do is you can also keep things around in your environment. That's also going to help you as well, too. And one of the things that you can actually get, I had a funny conversation with a brother the other day. We were talking about this and laughing, but it really, really helps. And he hadn't heard of it. So it's called a happy lamp. Get you a happy lamp. And so what a happy lamp is, and you can actually Google it. I know somebody in the chat room will put the website for me. I don't have it in front of me. But you can actually go and you can get you a happy lamp. And what a happy lamp is, it covers all the spectrums of the sunlight. And when this light comes on from the sunlight, what it does is it really sort of mimics the energy of the sun. And so for those who suffer from sort of that what they call sad or seasonal, you know, that seasonal disorder because of the lack, they call it sad because of the lack of the sunlight. Yes, there's the website right there. You can actually buy one on Amazon. You can Google it there, or you can also go somewhere else. I have a happy lamp, and it's called just that, a happy lamp as well. It's a little lamp. You don't have to get one of the very, very big happy lamps. But you can just get you those happy lamps and put them there. They also have some happy lamps where you can actually set the timer. And what will happen with the one with the timer is that as the sun would normally come up, it will start to lighten the lamp. So, for instance, if the sun rises at 6 a.m., it will start to light just the little bit of light that the sun is illuminating, and the lamp will continue as the time goes on throughout the day. You don't have to spend all day with your happy lamp. I wouldn't recommend you to do that, but you can keep it next to your work space as well. And you can keep it. No, this is not the same as a tanning booth. Not at all. Don't be confused. It's not the same as a tanning booth at all. It's not the same as a tanning booth at all. That's funny. That's funny. I'm sure that was a joke. So now what we're going to talk about is when you get the happy lamp, what you're going to do is after you've gotten that, then what you're going to do is you're going to have your happy lamp on, and you can keep it plugged in for 10 or 15 minutes per day as well. And you can begin to keep that lamp on and keep it sort of kind of tuned into your vibration. So you can use it in the morning, use it throughout the day, maybe take about 5 or 10 minutes and spend some time with the happy lamp, and that really will help you with energy. It really will. So that's another thing that you can do. Also, you can use candles. You really, really kind of get the energy of the candles in your home and really kind of do that. One of the goddesses that really helps the home is the goddess Nephthys. You know, they call her the goddess of the house, and often she's depicted with a chair on top of her crown, which is for the house well too. And you can begin to do some meditation and work with her energy as well too. And also what you can do is you can also work with the goddess Vista. She's another goddess that really, really works inside the home. It really just helps to bring that energy within the home. So those are going to be two of the goddesses that you can actually begin to work with when you're talking about doing some things with your home. Now we're going to talk about those things, get into a little bit of funky feng shui. So Nephthys is the goddess, and also the other goddess was Vista, or Nephthys or Nebet. Yes, all those different names depending on where you look for them. Yes, that's definitely going to help you as well. So the other thing is you can also use the Himalaya salt lamp. Yes, the Himalaya salt lamp is also going to work as well, too. Those salt lamps is excellent. I have one. We've talked about them on the show. Those are excellent. It helps. It really, really helps. It has a nice iridescent glow to it as well, too. It helps remove any of the negative ions that's in the atmosphere as well, too. You can actually Google it as well, too. And that's what it does. It really just takes everything out of the energy, out of the air, and it really just helps to transform that energy into positive energy. So that is definitely a wonderful thing. I have them in quite a few rooms in my house as well, too. They work excellent. You can also find the tea light ones where you can actually get it. You don't even have to have the ones that you plug in, where you can put a tea light in there and you can simply light it and just that energy of that. Also, the other thing is definitely you want to get into taking baths. One of the greatest baths that you can take is with Himalaya salt, because what it does, unlike some of the other sodium baths, if you're dealing with other health things or worried about your blood pressure or any of that, Himalaya salt doesn't have that effect. It is quite different than taking sort of a regular salt bath. So taking a bath with Himalaya salt, you can actually do that. It's so much more healthier for you. It's so soothing to your skin. It's excellent to really, really begin to do that as well. So it's going to help you. These are all the things that you can actually do if you sort of feel yourself kind of becoming a little tired during this season, or if you actually feel as though you're getting a little bit of depression coming on, because sometimes that energy can be so strong, you know, coming on this time of the year. Some people actually go into a depression because they're not able to get that connection with the sun. And so what you want to do is try to catch that before it actually gets to that particular point. don't want to let it go that far till it gets to the point where you are. But no worries, absolutely no worries, because you can turn it around. You can turn it around, and these are all the things that you can begin to do to turn around. Yes, yes, yes. These are things that you can begin to do to turn it around. The other thing you can do, and we talked about this before, is you can actually begin to take showers. And how showers work, even though taking baths is excellent, but showers also does a lot, especially when you clean your aura. Those of you who work with the public or you work outside or you're dealing with energy constantly, because I'm dealing with energy constantly all the time, a lot of times I like to take a shower. And when you're taking a shower, alternating the water from hot to cold and actually taking turning around three times. So you can actually take a shower, turning around three times to the right with hot and then turning three times to the right with cold water. Alternate is really going to help to clear out your energy and cleanse your aura. It's going to cleanse your aura for you. If possible, it's great for you to begin to take a shower as well. And even I'll take that opportunity to wash my hair at the same time, you know, with that and doing the cold wash as well, too. You know, there's a lot of scientific studies about what happens is when cold water particularly hits that part of our body, which is actually the brain. It actually changes the chemical frequencies within your brain. So it's a great way if you find yourself sort of kind of really getting into this sad energy or getting really depressed to wash your hair and do cold water rinse, as cold as you can stand it. Not only is that going to close your pores, so if you have to go outside, you don't have to worry about all of those things being able to just penetrate within your body, but it also helps to shift the frequency within your brain. Whenever you're feeling very down or you're just in one of those humbug days, you can jump into the shower and you can begin to do that cold water rinse and do that. You will feel amazing afterwards. It will cleanse your aura. It will help you to stay balanced and help you to stay focused as well. Another thing that you can actually get as well is get yourself a dream catcher from Sister Rainwater. Keep that there, particularly at night when you're sleeping as well, too. I don't know if Rain's in the house. I know she's probably on the phone listening. I don't know if she's in the chat room. But you definitely want to get you a dream catcher. They're actually dream amps, but you can actually charge them up, and you can definitely begin to use it, and you can have that dream amp. I keep that in my Facebook space as well. They're amazing. They're made with her energy. She picks out all of those. picks out all of those crystals, and she has them made for you guys. If you guys didn't see on the Remix family page over on Facebook, I actually have a dream amp there that Sister Rainwater made for me. It's amazing. I love it. It sets the tone for the energy and the power. So those are some of the things that you can begin to do to turn it around. To turn that around, and definitely the other thing that you can use, and this is so powerful as well too, is music. Music. Music definitely helps open up different frequencies and different portals, not only in ourselves, but also in our home, in our sacred space. You know, that's important to do that as well too, is to really have music. And definitely have all of that music really just kind of vibrating through and really begin to see where that music needs to be. You know, what is So begin to come over and see, you know, into each one of the rooms and see what is going to, you know, what music is actually going to vibe with you, you know, so in each room, because it will tell you. Maybe in a particular room you want to play some music like we just listened to. You want to listen to Turning the Beat Around. You know, you want to hear that right there. And again, to get into the rhythm, into the flow. Or maybe you want to play something like a little bit of jazz. You know, you want to play some of that and just have something very smooth in that room. Maybe that's the room you study in. Maybe there's another room that you really want to play some, oh, I don't know, you want to put some hip-hop in. You want to get the energy moving. This is also another way for you to begin to get all this energy. That's also a way, you know, I talk about using sage. If you have small children or people who may be sensitive to certain smells or scents, then you don't necessarily have to use incense or sage. You can actually just begin to play music, and that music will begin to bring that vibration into that sacred space, into that space within your home, to really kind of begin to raise energy as well. So those are some of the things that you can begin to work on to get that energy flowing and to get that energy moving in your sacred space. In your sacred space, in your body, with yourself as well. It's a way that you can begin to turn the beat around. It's a way that you can begin to connect with brown sugar thyme and get into that energy. This is also a really great time for those of you who may not have done this. Let's just kind of take a poll really, really quick. I want to know, how many people have connected with the spirit in their home and in their sacred space? So it doesn't matter if you're living in the dormitory or if you're renting a room from somebody or sharing a room with someone or in your house or wherever that sacred space may be. It could be in the basement, could be in the attic. It can be how many people have actually connected with the spirit within their home. So I want you to put a heart in the room if you have, and we can share some of those experiences as well. Haven't? Okay, so quite a few people haven't. Mm-hmm. Some people said, and some minor ways that you do. Well, we're going to do sort of like a short meditation here and talk about actually how to connect with the energy or connect with the spirit within your home, because you can do that. You know, have you ever seen a house, or let's just take maybe a house. Maybe you went away on vacation. Some of you are traveling right now as you're listening to this show, but maybe you're going away on vacation, or maybe you went away for a while and haven't been home, or there's a particular room in your house you haven't been in. Maybe you use it as a storage room, or there just isn't anyone in that space. Have you noticed that whenever you go into that particular space and you come in, you can actually feel the stagnation of the energy? It feels sort of heavy when you walk in that space. You know, in some of the past shows, and if you guys have not listened to this, one of them did the ancient art of sacred space clearing. The other one is about the ancient art of feng shui and energizing your spaces. We talk about a lot of these principles that we call feng shui principles, which are very ancient principles, go all the way back to ancient Kemen and to African ancestors as well. But I talk about this a little bit more in detail. I want to talk about connecting with the spirit of your sacred space. I'm not talking about spirits in your space, because I think many of us can attest that it's a lot going on in our space, but I'm talking about the physical structure of the space. We're going to talk about how to connect with the spirit in your sacred space, and then also how, if you're beginning to move, how you can actually take this spirit with you if you're moving. If you've been living in a great place and the energy has been wonderful and you have loving and wonderful memories, how you can take that with you. And if you're looking for a new place to go, how you can actually begin to work with that energy of spirit. If you're moving in a new place, how to connect with that spirit. So some really cool things we're going to do. We're going to do some other things tonight. We'll just kind of touch on a little bit of everything here, but I thought this was good to mention. I had a couple of readings where one of them And often I have people who come to me so we can do a little bit of feng shui reading, that they had a space of a place they were trying to sell, and the place wouldn't sell. They didn't know why. They said it's been on the market. They was trying to do different things. Why wasn't the place going to sell? And so one of the things that I did is I actually kind of did a scan on the place and told her, because you haven't taken your spirit of the place yet. You haven't even made that connection between your sacred space to say, hey, I'm getting ready to move on, you know? So let's talk about how we can begin to meet that energy, or begin to meet the energy of the sacred space. And really begin to tap into that energy as well. The first thing that you want to do is I want you to begin to think about that sacred, your sacred space, your home, your apartment where you live, and just everything. Just think about that, the place you are, where you live, where your space is. And then I want you to just close your eyes and sort of kind of imagine yourself at the front door, whatever that front door is. So if that is the door of your room, I want you to imagine yourself there. If that is the front door of your house, I want you to connect with that energy there. But really get yourself into the position where you're imagining that you've taken yourself, let's go on a walk, and take yourself to the front door. To the front door. So now that you're at the door, the first thing that you're going to do is I want you to really connect with the energy of your space. You know, you're not going in the door yet. You're just kind of looking at the door at this particular time. The door is closed, but you can feel the spirit as you're walking up towards your sacred space. You can feel the energy. Do you feel that? You can feel it, can't you? So now, what you're going to do is you're going to open the door, and you're going to imagine as soon as you open that door, what's going to be standing right there in front of you is going to be the spirit of your home. Now, this is important. One of the things that you may see, is some will see an image of a person, a physical person. Some may actually see a spirit, an animal. It may be a light. It may even be just presence that is felt, or even a voice. So I want you to take some time right at this moment, really making this connection here with the spirit of your sacred space, right there, holding that energy and just really that. Spend some time getting to know the home, the spirit of your sacred space. Spend some time getting to know the spirit of your sacred space. Take some time right there. Ask your sacred space, what is the name? What is the name? What is the name? What is the energy? What is the name that they'd like to be called at this time? They'll share that with you. So whether it's a spirit, whether it's an animal that's being seen, whether it's any of the things that are coming through, maybe just the presence, ask, what is the name? And then begin to ask, is there anything valuable that you need to know about this space? What are some of the things that's valuable to know about this space? So take some time there. Now, excellent. As you know, and this is something that we talked about, and I want you guys to kind of share some of the things that came up for you as well. But when I talked about in some of the past shows where we talked about feng shui, is that actually that threshold of you coming in through the front door or into the front of your spirit space is actually crossing over into the altar. And even though we have many altars throughout our house, the whole sacred space is the altar. That is your altar. Once you cross that threshold, you are leaving the outer world and you are coming within. So that is you crossing over into the altar. That is symbolic of you coming in through the front door. This is why it's important that that front door, that front area, have no clutter whatsoever. That needs to be a very inviting place. And for some of you, if you use a side door or if you use a back door or maybe you come in your garage, you definitely need to make sure that when you're coming in that door that you go to your front door often. Even if it's no more, then you open up the door, you look out. So some of you are saying that you actually greeted the spirit of your home. And so depending on that, it could have been a person. Some of you are saying person. Some people saying they're seeing green light. People are saying they're seeing other things. They felt a presence. I'm getting all of your PMs. Some people saying they felt something very pink. Someone saying that they seen a beautiful woman, an older woman standing in front of the door. Some of you are saying that you've seen a wolf that's standing there as well, too. And that is going to be very powerful. Some of you got names as well. Some people saw a frog. Oh, this is something else. Yes. So these are some of the things that you're going to see. Connecting with the spirit of your home is important because your home is going to let you know when things need to be taken care of, when things happen. I know for me in my home, because I have that strong connection, it lets me know if something's out of place or something's out of order. I remember one day I came in the house and I left the door unlocked. And I was in my room, and the spirit of my home came and said, hey, you know you in the house, and you're in the bed, and y'all are asleep, and the door's unlocked. And I got up, and sure enough, the door was unlocked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of you are getting the name of your house. Beautiful. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Beautiful. Some of you have been led to where you are. Mm-hmm. So this is about, we have so many different things that is outside of our home, but our actual physical structure of our home has a spirit too. And this is important. The actual physical structure of your home has a spirit, as well as the land that your home is on, wherever that space is. It doesn't matter if you're, someone gave me this name of their home. I love that. Beautiful. Beautiful. I think this is great. We can actually take some calls if you guys want to share what name, if you want to share your home name and what happened when you went into the light meditation to connect with the spirit of your home. You can call in 646-652-2711 is the number to call as well too. Yes. Mm-hmm. Some of that, very, very powerful for you to connect with the spirit of your sacred space. And in some of the past shows, I tell you how if this is a very inviting and a very loving space, how you can begin to take energy with you. If you move, you can invite your home that you live in. If it's been a place of growth for you, if it's been a place of safety for you, if it's been a place of happy memories and thoughts, and you're moving, you can invite the spirit of your home to go with you to your new home. You can tell it to come with you. Okay. Coyote Land is Transform Man's name. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. So those are some things. If something is wrong in your house, I promise you guys, from your plumbing being clogged up, from something wrong with your roof or your doorbell or something in your carpet, when you connect with the spirit of your home, it's going to let you know. It's going to let you know when everything is going on. It is important. This is the way that we do this. We know that anything definitely contains energy. It contains spirit, and we connect with that as well, too. So that is very powerful. I'm glad to hear that. Let's see. We're going to go to the phone lines really quick before we go on to the next exercise. If anyone wants to share with the spirit of their home, they can definitely do that as well. Okay. We're going to go to the caller. It looks like calling in from area code 213. You're live in the mix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Crystal, and I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Okay. Greetings, Crystal.
Greetings. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. It was kind of breaking up there. So when I went into my space, I opened the door, and I actually saw a fireplace. So I don't know if, you know, my spirit guide, or if you will, is a fire, but that's what I saw. And as far as a name, what came to me was desire. So I don't know exactly what that means.
Beautiful. Well, that means a lot. Let me ask you, do you actually have a fireplace in your home right now?
No, I don't actually.
Okay.
Yeah, not in this place.
Not in that place. Is it a fireplace, though, is something you desire?
Yeah, definitely. I had it when I had a house. I did have a fireplace in it.
Beautiful. Well, you mentioned something, and you said desire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the fireplace, and then it told you the name desire, desire came up for you. And this is really symbolic of your home, letting you know that you can actually begin to get into this space, the space that you're in now, that you can activate those things with your desire. You know,
mm-hmm.
fire energy is connected with drive and passion. When we think about fire, that's what it does. It's associated with all of those things, drive and passion as well, too, you know. It's also connected with emotions, and you're very emotional. That's one of the wonderful things about you, is that you connect on an emotional level. So what your sacred spirit is saying to you is that this place that you're in, you can begin to tap into all of those things of your desires. And so you want to light candles. You want to begin to work with that energy. You know, keep candles around in your sacred space. Maybe, you know, do a meditation with that and connect with that fire energy there. Excellent. That was beautiful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, that was beautiful. Beautiful. We're going to go on and... we're going to go on to the next caller. Calling in from area code 719. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm not sure if I'm 719, but I hope I am.
You don't know your area code. Yeah, you're 719. Who's on the line, please?
This is Almost Him calling from Colorado Springs.
Oh, Almost Him. How are you?
I'm not even sure if I can admit how great I am. It might mess somebody's head up.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's like that.
Never that. You're with the remix. You want to share with us what you got with your house?
Absolutely, family. This really ain't my house, but I'm cleaning it up. I'm putting tiles back where they go. What she was talking about, that fireplace, that's sitting right there. The carpet, we just cleaned the carpet in this mug. We, you know, because, you know, the holiday coming up, Thanksgiving, got to make sure it's right for everybody to come visit.
Right. But when you say it's not your space, do you live there?
My mail don't come to this address, but I'm pretty much helping to take care of this mansion.
Okay, well then I would say that's, you consider it your sacred space, right? We're not talking about what the government consider. We're talking about what you consider.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
okay.
Without a doubt. Oh, yes,
right.
Sacred from what the proprietor says, this is God's place. And I dare anybody to say different. It's serious. It's like that. Above the door in this space, there's a scripture. And, you know, of course, we metaphysical, but the book has been around for a long time. So evil and bad can't even step through the door. The space
well,
is locked
good.
And closed with magnets on four corners.
Yeah, that's why it is your, that's why it's called your sacred space. So everyone gets a chance to do it the way that they want to do it. So if that works for you, that is that's definitely what happens, you know. That's what sacred space is all about. So beautiful. Thank you for calling in and sharing that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity.
Beautiful. Thank you. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Beautiful. So next we're going to do is we're going to go to the next caller calling in from 678. You're live in the remix. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Sandra T. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hey, Sandra.
Hi.
Yes, you want to share what you got in your spirit space?
I sure do. When I stood there and I opened the door, I got this sort of, it was a pulling. It was like a wind pulling me in. And I get it when I go into where my altar is, and I get it when I come into the front door.
Mm-hmm.
But especially this time, I did it in front of the room that has my altar in it. And the name that I got was Chua, Chua. That was the name that I was given. And I don't even know what that is, but that's the name that I was given. And when you said that, when you spoke about hearing or connecting with spirits in the home, after we did a gateway exercise with a group we have on Facebook with Esther, and after that, I started hearing, the first time I heard it, I did a triple take, but there's a hallway between my room and my children's room, and now when I go through there several times, I'll hear laughter. The first time, I thought it was the children, but they were, you know, it was late,
yeah.
They're asleep, but now I hear it regularly, so it's like a voice that's just laughing, and my home has always been one that's been filled with that, so I understand that that is absolutely the spirit that reigns in my house.
Well, there you go. You have your answer then. So that's
yes,
the name,
yes.
And then Chua is the name, and then you heard the laughter, you know, and that's one of the things. Remember when Brother Bobby was on and we were talking on the show, and some things came up, and I was saying that one of the things that you can hear spirit comes through sound of wood. That's the element. And so with our houses being sort of, it doesn't even matter if you have an all-brick house or not, since there is some portion of wood, you will be able to hear that vibration. And also the voice and the sound coming through air. So all of that, very, very powerful. So you have the name. You have the spirit of your home. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Peace and blessings. Oh, yeah, that was beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, it is so important to connect with the spirit of your home. We have spirits that are in our home, but connect with the physical landscape of your home has a spirit as well, too. And that is it's powerful to connect with as well. So we're going to continue on as we continue, because I want to get to some other things as well, too, and really talk about that and how we can continue to connect with that energy as well. So the next thing that I want to talk about is really just experiencing the different seasons. Because our home, and we're talking about the physical structure, and I know, like I said, all of us here that knows our magic, we know that we have different portals in our home and different things, and we're going to hear these voices and hear these sounds and have these spirits that are in there. But I want you to kind of work with the physical landscape of your physical home and connect with that energy too, as well too, because that energy is going to connect it with you as well and may give you answers to different things like Sandra was talking about different things coming up in the home. So once you connect with the spirit of the home, whether It's an old house. Often I've done this work with people in sessions, and they've answered questions about different things that happen in the home and why certain spirits exist within their home. So this is why certain spirits exist. The spirit of the house can actually tell you about the history of the house, about the land, what happened there, what energy exists there, what spirits are in there, and why those spirits are there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. So many different things that you can actually do. Let's see. Let me tell somebody to call back. There, any book that you get that's on feng shui is going to go into different things about different things. But you can actually look into a lot of our African spiritual systems and take a look at that. That's going to be excellent. But if you want to find out more about feng shui, you can take a look at that, because they go by all of those principles to definitely show you how to get into that particular energy. Yes. Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the different seasons, how to connect with the different seasons within your home. So again, what you're going to do is just kind of get yourself in a still position at this particular time, and definitely take a couple of deep breaths in and out, nice and slow. Someone is saying, and I want to address this question in the chat room, how do they get past spirit and get to the spirit of the home, get past their parents' spirit and the spirit of the home? If you have your parents around you, although I know sometimes that thing of passing, of making a transformation, can be very, very challenging. That's one of the most challenging things that we are going to experience here, the loss of a loved one or someone close to you. So don't fool yourself. And oftentimes this has been said before, you know, even when we go back and look at the hieroglyphs, you know, Brother Panic has spoke about this as well. You even see them doing the mourning procession, you know, going through that phase of mourning, of really feeling that sadness, allowing those emotions to come up. That's not something that really most of us, if you have an heart, if you are connected to your heart chakra, you're going to feel that, whether it's a parent, whether it's a loss of a friend, or whether it's a loss of a child. And I don't go by that premise of just celebrate and move on. That's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. You need to allow yourself the opportunity to really go through those phases, go through those different phases. Take it on a chakra journey, because you actually go through a chakra journey. And if you miss one of those steps in someone very close to you making their transition, you're really going to find that you somehow stuck in a particular phase. So allow yourself to go through that phase of mourning. You know, allow yourself to feel sort of that sadness, but then allow yourself to get into the place where you can remember. You know, this is a saying that once I heard, and I'm not really sure who said it, but they were saying someone lives 34 years or 50 years, 60 years of their life. How belittling is it to only remember the day of their death, the day of their passing, their day of their leaving, and then hold on to that day? Great sadness, you see, great sadness, when you had so many years of joy. And so that's where you go back to. You go to that place of coming from the place of your heart. And that is the place where both the physical and the spiritual world both meet. This is why this is also the portal to get you into a lot of the higher mysteries when it comes to understanding what I call know your magic, which is also translated into just pure life and living, and really your spirituality. So you have to go back into those chambers within the heart, and there's many chambers within the heart. They can be broken up into three, which just signifying that trinity of those things coming back together again. You know, going back to the good times. If you are you going to feel sad? Of course you're going to feel sad. You'd be less than human. The goal is not to stay in that sadness and to recognize that they have risen. They have risen to another level. And so now you can connect with their spirit. This is why making things like an altar is so powerful, because this is how you communicate. This is how you communicate with your ancestors. You can make an ancestral altar. This is one of the shows that Brother Pink talked about in the past shows about how to connect with spirits, how to connect with your parents. So whether it's your mother or your father, whether it's a friend, it could be a sister or brother, it could be a child, it could be any of those. You can connect with them still in the physical, in the spiritual form. But first you have to begin to let go of the connection of the physical form. And the process, that's not something that just happens overnight. And I don't care who tells you that, it can become challenging for them. It takes a while to particularly get yourself to that place. And I don't think anyone, as long as we're here on this earth, won't sort of feel that longing, you see. But there are different things that you can begin to do so that you can still stay connected. Because to hold on only to that one day of the passing, you sort of have let go all of the other beautiful things. And that's important. That's important for you to stay connected with that, you know? And sometimes friends passing can be very traumatic. And sometimes getting into this consciousness, we want answers. We want to know why, you know? That same question that's driving us on our spirituality is also driving us into other places as well, too. You know, we somehow feel that we can go back and we can change that, can change the person's destiny or change that particular situation, you know, of trying to understand why. But really, it's about letting it go. It's about beginning to let go. Mm-hmm. And someone else is talking about a subject that's kind of close to my heart, so I think I'll take some time to talk about this, about a good friend, you know, that was lost. And so a lot of times what happens is we have connections with people, friends, family, all of those that we love. And sometimes when they're passing gone, sometimes we sort of kind of make that connection between ourselves, that what does this say about me? And knowing that we can no longer pick up the phone, or maybe talk to them or walk in the other room and speak to them or have them come to them, you know? But know that they're still around you. Know that their spirit is still around you. Know that you can still stay connected to them. They are there. They are there for you, you know? And it's not necessarily about you answering the question, why? It's not about that. It's not about answering the question, why, for them, but really taking heed to the time, opportunity that you were able to be in their lives and they were able to be in yours, and that you're still connected with them. Now this connection is just on a much, much higher level. It's on that God and God level. Now you can connect with them. How beautiful is it to know your mom and dad is still around you, that they are still close to you, that they're still in your sacred space, that you still can speak to them, that they can show up in your dreams, you know, that they can remind you to come back in the house and cut off the stove that you forgot to leave on. That when it is holiday time, what's important is that we begin to keep our ancestors alive. Call their names. Just like we call on the names of the gods, goddesses. Brother Bobby talked about this, to raise their energy. Call on the name of your ancestors to raise them up, particularly during this time of the year. During this brown sugar time of year, call on them. Not only will you help to raise them up, they will also help to raise you up. keep their pictures, mention them, talk about your Aunt Clara's favorite macaroni and cheese, talk about your Uncle James, you know, talk about the jokes he used to tell that everybody used to laugh at, you know, mention them, bring them into the celebration. They're already there. They're already there. They're still connected with you. The consciousness is still connected with you. It is still within you, you know. You become one with them, and this is also why you're feeling sort of this sadness sometimes. Sometimes you can actually physically see the spirit of a person being lifted out of their body. When I was young, it was the most traumatic thing I had ever seen in my life. But now, with a little bit more understanding, I recognize it as also being one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced as well, too. One of the greatest orgasms, one of the greatest moments that any of us will experience is that to transition, is that to go back to where we came from. Take your time, no matter where you are with this, because we're all in different places and no one can tell you what you need to do. But if you're finding yourself in a position where you can't function, where you can't think, you need to talk to somebody, you know, then you need to take some steps to alleviate this, because the number one thing you ask yourself is if that person, if your mother, if your father, if your cousin, if your friend, if your boyfriend, if your girlfriend, if your baby was here with you at this moment, would they want you to feel this way? Would they? Is this how they want to be remembered? I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be remembered like that. I want you guys to celebrate. I want you to enjoy those good times. And it's important that we recognize that. So don't take someone that you may have known for all life or just for a few moments and diminish them to just their transitioning. Just that. Recognize those good times. Know that you can still stay connected to them. Getting into your altar, knowing your magic, this is why these things are so important. This is why these things are so important. Yes. So just wanted to take some time to just kind of share on that. And really, really begin to connect with that energy. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And no, you can never disconnect it. Never disappoint anybody. You can never disappoint. The only person that you're really capable of disappointing is yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the only person you're capable of disappointing is yourself. That's it. They're not disappointed in you. They see your light, you know. They see it shining bright, you know. Really see your light. They see it shining bright. There's nothing greater than that they can have for you as that as well. Yes. Yeah. There's no judgment, right? There's no judgment. They're not there to judge you. You know, they're not there to judge you. But they definitely are here to give you a very big hug. I think it's a great time that we actually take some time to say Ashe and blessings to all of our ancestors that are around us as well. As well. Yes. Beautiful. All right, you guys. Beautiful. 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 Okay, so now we're going to talk about the seasons of our sacred space as well. Yes, and if you have pets, many times I've done readings for people where their pets have come through. Pets have spirits too. I talked about on one of my shows how my daughters had this fish called Deep, and I actually went into Deep's Akashic Records and talked to him before he passed, and now that he's passed, you know, Sudeep, you can still connect with our pets as well, too, our totems. You can, our real life totems that are close to us as well. So you can connect with all of that that has a spirit. You sure can. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so let's talk about the different seasons and why that's important, especially those of us that live in the climate where the climate changes drastically. And now that's going to be everybody on the planet, because we have experienced things in different parts of the world that is kind of making history or haven't happened in about 100 years or 200 years. So it's important that as the seasons change, as it becomes brown sugar time, as we turn ourselves around, that we also connect with that as well. So now, and I'm going to give you guys a great feng shui book, and I'll get the name of it before the show. So just remind me, I'll get the name of the book so I can tell you guys as well too, okay? It's going to be an excellent feng shui book. You can get it. You can get to work with all of the things that are in there as well. So here's one. This is what I want. We're going to actually go into experiencing brown sugar time. Brown sugar time. We're going to go into that. And so what I want you guys to do, we're going to do a little bit of shape shifting here. Maybe I should play some music. I don't know if we still have some instrumentals. I can't think of those instrumentals that we did on one of the shows, but maybe I can play a little bit of music if I can find it. Let's see. Don't want to play the Yeah, that's it, Esther. Thank you. That's it. That's the song right there. Let me see if I can find that. I'm sure we'll get some names off of that. We'll get some names out of that, but we won't play that one just yet. We'll play that for another one. But here's one. We're going to do a little bit of shape shifting, okay? This is still dealing with your sacred space. It doesn't matter how big that is or how small that space is. But this is going to be dealing with the sacred space. So here we go. Okay. What I want you to do is to begin to just kind of sit quietly and close your eyes. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine your body, really begin to take on this energy of your body, shape-shifting and becoming bigger and bigger and larger and larger until your whole complete form has transformed itself into your sacred space. So if that's your apartment, if that's your house, if that's your room, bring it there. Take notice right now how you feel. Take notice of everything that you're feeling. Notice the connection that's having between yourself and also the house. Now, think about the connection between yourself and the elements outside. Feel the element of air. Feel the element that's outside around your sacred space. If it's raining, feel the water. If you live near a lake or a pond, feel the elements, all of the elements that are connected. The sun, the earth, all of the elements. This is how you're feeling. Now, begin to take yourself on a journey. You have now shifted yourself into your sacred space. Start as the sun is rising and take yourself all the way until it is done. Notice how you're feeling. Now, I want you to begin to speed this up. Speed this up. Go through the season, starting out with spring, summer, winter, fall, really seeing how everything is changing around your sacred space. Really sort of take on the energy of how your house has overcome many seasons, connecting with all of the energy and the weather. See yourself connecting with all of the different seasons as they come. Feel how your home has overcome this thing. You think about last summer. Think about the sun shining, beating down. Think about when it was raining, water that was washing away, pouring down. Think about the snow as it was covering everything, the cold and the coolness. Connect yourself with all of the elements. This is giving you insight on not only how you're changing, not only how you're turning around, but also how your spirit space is changing and turning around as well, too. Yes. Now what I want you to do is I want you to begin to come inward. So instead of being large, you're going to begin to get smaller, smaller, and smaller until you find yourself in the very heart, the center of your space. Take yourself sitting with your legs propped and your arms by your side, eyes closed, and gently lifting your head back, looking upward. Imagine the very top, the very roof that connects with the cosmos coming off of your sacred space, and you being able to see all of the stars that shine above. Now, I want you to find the star that is connected to the spirit of your sacred space. Connect with that star. Imagine yourself bringing the star down into your sacred space, holding it in your hand, holding gently the star. Allow it to be illuminated in your hand. As the energy and the light of the cosmos connect with yourself and your sacred space. Now gently stand to get up, and you're going to walk through your house as if you're walking a labyrinth or a maze, and you're going to allow that star to illuminate, to shine, to go into every space, every room, every area of the house, leaving out of the living room, going to maybe the bedrooms, walking all the areas of the bedroom, walking in a circle while in the room, leaving out of the room, going into the bathroom, walking in a circle in the bathroom. Now leaving out of the bathroom, walking down the hallway and walking back. Everywhere you go, the star is illuminating itself within, leaving nothing but pure light, prosperity, wisdom, joy, happiness, clearing out anything that does not belong in your sacred space. Now on to the next bedroom. If there is a next bedroom, you're going to go to the bedroom. Same thing, walking in a circular motion. And now you're going to go into the kitchen. This is where you prepare your food, where you have the nourishment for not only yourself, but everyone comes into the sacred space, and walking in a circular motion as you see the star begin to sparkle so bright that it barely can be contained. You can see the star sparks coming all the way out of the window, clearing out anything that does not belong in that space. Come back into the living room and now walk into any other area in your house. If you have a backyard, you're going to go out into the backyard, walking in a circular space as well, walking in a circle, going through, clearing out anything that does not belong on those sacred grounds, coming back into the sacred space, and now walking into any other room, any other area. If there is a basement, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to walk in a circular motion once getting to the basement. If there is an attic or an upstairs, same thing, walking into the upstairs area, walking in a circular motion. And then you're going to go, after you come back down, any other area in your house. If you have a garage, if you have a covered patio, if you have a balcony, walking in a circular motion, clearing out anything that doesn't belong in that space, leaving nothing, pure light, prosperity, healing, energy, and love everywhere you go from the star. Now you're going to walk back into the living room, and gently what you're going to do is place the roof back on your house. Now you have the star still shining out into your hands, and now you're going to walk out through your front door and gently lift your hands up into the cosmos, up towards the Milky Way, and as the star begins to lift itself back up in the sky, you're going to come back into your sacred space, back in the same position. Gently, gently take 1 to 2 breaths just to relax yourself. And now you can begin to open your eyes. You have just energized, cleared, and made a seasonal turnaround connection with your home. Wow, that was great. Did you guys enjoy that? That was great. That was great. All right, you guys, we're going to continue right here live in the remix. Yes. That was amazing. That was great. That felt so good. So good. You can feel the energy being lifted. It is a lot of power for us to connect with that energy that is around us, that energy that's with us in our sacred space. And from time to time, as the seasons change, as we come into the different seasons, we have to begin to do what nature does, that is turn it around. Sometimes we have to turn energy around. This is a good point for us to begin to turn that energy around and really just connect with it in that way. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. You can do it from time to time. Definitely keep that connection with the physical sacred space, the structure that you're in, That's going to be important as well. We'll do one or two more things, and then we're going to open up the phone lines and do all kinds of other shares. We still have plenty of time here left to come the remix. I'm so glad you guys enjoyed that. This is some of the things that I do. And I have so much fun with it, and really clearing out the energy in our space, because we do need to do that. If you have any rooms that you don't go in for whatever reason, take time every day and walk in that room. Put your energy in that room. You know, it's almost like having a friend not communicate or not to talk to. You know, can you imagine having a part of your body that you don't touch, that you don't caress, that you don't nurture, that you don't speak to? You know, you need to do that with your sacred space. You need to make sure that you are connecting with all of these things in your sacred space, making sure that you connect with all of those energies and everything that is there for you in your sacred space. That's important too. We spend a lot of time there. We do. So moving right along. So what happens if you're in a space and you want to move? Or what happens if you know, I was talking to a couple of sisters, some of them in powerful sacred space name. What happens if you're somewhere and even though it's beautiful for you now, you just know that eventually you will have your sacred space where you can do some amazing things at? Then what you can do is you can actually begin to sort of call that spirit of your place. You know, sometimes you might have even heard people say, they know what their house looks like. You know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but there's this amazing brother, and he spends a lot of time looking at his dream home. You know, he knows what that energy feels like for himself and his family and where that place is. And, you know, he knows what it looks like down to a T. He knows the energy it's going to hold, how it's going to be decorated, you know, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to look like. And you can do that too. You really can connect with that energy. So we're going to do something. This one's going to be a little short, where we can actually go into that energy of really calling on, sort of going into the future, really. So we're going to take a trip into the future now, and really how to get into that, going into that place of where we want to go to connect with our sacred space. So if you have a sacred space and you're dreaming of going somewhere else, of finding that place or having it be or for it to come in, maybe you want to move. Maybe it's just time for you to move. You need more space. That could be it. You know, I was talking to a sister in the UK, and she told me, she said, I want to move. You know, this place is too small. Talking to a few people this week, they were saying, it's time for me to move. It's time for me to get out of here. Well, what you want to do is, it's a couple of things you want to do. You want to put that energy out there so you can begin to connect with that energy. Then we want to talk about how you can begin to really, 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 really have the spirit of your sacred space that you're in now, take that spirit with you. It's a good spirit. If it's a not so much good spirit, you can let that spirit know, look, don't follow me. Don't come. Wherever I go, don't come with me. You stay right here. So you can do that too. But you can also remove your energy out of the space as well. I know you guys know how powerful that is. Have you ever walked into someone's house or their sacred space right after an argument and you can feel that tension in the air? Same thing. Have you ever walked into someone's sacred space and it's been nothing but love and joy and happiness, and you can feel the energy when you walk into that space? You know what was going on in that space. So it is time that you actually go and you can collect your energy from your space. So you can collect your energy out of that space. So if it is a space and you know that you're leaving, you know that you're leaving this space, and let's say you want to sell it or you just want to make it a smooth transition, and this is not a space, you don't necessarily need the spirit of this house to come with you. Let's say you want the spirit of the house to stay there. Maybe you're leaving under some terms that's not good, and you want to leave those memories there. But what you can do is you're going to go into a visualization, and you're going to carry with you a basket. Stay with me, brothers. I know basket scares you, but you're going to, you're going to carry you a basket. Or bag. I'll let you have a bag. But you're going to carry a basket with you. And I want you to take all of the good memories with you. So you're just going to leave the bad. Something happened in the space that was bad. I had to help someone get over someone who made their transition in a very unfortunate way in their sacred space. And so what we did is we actually sort of kind of walked through the house and we took all the good memories with us. He ended up staying in the house, but we were able to shift the energy out of there. That's another story. But let's talk about how we can take the memories. So what you want to do is you want to come in through the front door, come in the same way. And I want you to take some time, every single room, every single space that you're in, and collect the good memories. Put them in the basket. Put them in the bag. Just like you're going shopping. So when you come in the living room and you can remember the time when everybody was over and things were going well, maybe you're in a relationship and it's going so well and one of you are going to move, then I want you to begin to just put it in the, yeah, there you go, throw it in the bag. Throw it in the basket, you know. Put all of the good memories inside your basket. You're going to take those with you. Put it in there. Others, you have the bag. So you're going to put the good memories, all of these good memories, you begin to put them in there. Put them in there so that you can take them with you. You're going to put those good memories in the bag, put them in the basket, put them down in the bag, in the basket, and you're going to keep them. Once you get your basket nice and full, you're going to put the basket or put the bag by the door. And on the last day that you're in the sacred space, you're going to, after everything has been cleared, you're really going to thank the spirit of the sacred space for your lessons learned, for the connections that you've made, and for the love that was shared there, all of the positive things. And you're going to grab your goodies. That's your basket or your bag. And you're going to take it with you. Take it with you to your new sacred space. Take it with you to your new sacred space. You want to put the bad stuff in the bag. You're leaving that. You're going to take that. Mm-hmm. So now, let's talk about how we can begin to get into, to really get into looking for that wonderful sacred space. I know before I have the space that I'm in, I did a lot of visualization of seeing how I wanted it to be, you know, where I wanted the bedrooms to be, you know, all of this stuff, just like that, you see, just that, really kind of getting into that particular energy. So what you're going to do is just kind of relax right now. So you're going to relax right now. I'm reading the chat room. You guys know how it goes. So I want you to relax, kind of close your eyes. You're sitting in a comfortable place within your sacred space. Begin to open your eyes at this particular time. Take some time and think about how you feel about the space that you're in right now. Just take some time. Allow those feelings to come up. Yes. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Even close your inner eye. Close it. Just really go into darkness. And I want you, once I count to three, you open up your inner eyes. I want you to imagine what you see that space being, that sacred space that you're envisioning for the future. So it even may be staying where you are, but maybe you want to make some adjustments on how you have. Maybe instead of having the couch you have, you see something else. Maybe if you have your walls painted green, but you want to change the color. Maybe it's the paint on the wall. Maybe you want to change the light fixtures. Maybe you want to change something else. Maybe it's something that you want to change within the sacred space. So here we go. On the count of three, you're going to see your sacred space as you need to see it, as you want to see it. What is it going to look like for us in the future? So here we go. One, two, three. Now, take a look. Some of you may be still in the same space. It may just look different. Some of you may be in a completely different location altogether. But I want you to visualize this for the future. What does it look like? What does this space right here look like? How do you feel now about it? How do you feel about it? You can do this in every single room, every single space. And this is going to take care of the inside. And then later we're going to talk about how to go on a journey to begin to look for a new place, you know? Well, actually, we can talk about this now. We can talk about what looks now. Yes. We can talk about how it looks now. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. So now, we're going to talk about that space. Some of you moved. Some of you have recently moved. You're planning on moving. You just moved. Maybe you want to move in the future. Maybe right now it's just not feasible, but eventually you want to move. You want to move. We're going to talk about that. One of the things you can do, actually, before you go to bed, this is going to be easy. It's kind of like doing some dream work. It's kind of like doing some dream work. Wonderful. Yes, a new deck, a writing space. Excellent. Yes, beautiful. Yes, great, LeBlu. Excellent. So now, before you actually get ready to go to bed, one of the things that you can do is kind of set sort of yourself in the position where you can actually set the intention to find your new home. So you're kind of going to go house hunting, you know. I don't know about you guys, but one of the channels my television stay on is HGTV. I have been connected with feng shui, I think, since I've been a little girl, since maybe about 10 years old, I've been into this. And actually, one of the things in another life that I actually went to college for, if you get what I mean. But anyway, my TV stays on HGTV, and they have House Hunters. It's one of the shows there. Well, we're actually going to do some magical house hunting here. Yes, yes, I love me some HGTV. I love it. I love it. I just love that. Oh, and HGTV International is the best. Although sometimes, I don't know why they pick the home they do, but maybe the spirit of that house was calling them. Maybe that's what it is. Sometimes I'm like, what? You pick, they'll say, okay, which one are they going to choose? So it's really good. If you guys have not watched that, that is a television show, actually, where you can see a lot. And really, it can expand what you know. Because we talk about this when we're dealing with spirit. Spirit deals with your data bank. And sometimes, I know for me, I've sort of kind of been all over the world and back again, and probably been around the world a couple of times, more times than I care to talk about. But for some of us, we've lived in a place, but we were thinking about going to another city, going to another town, maybe moving somewhere else, but maybe you haven't been. There's so many ways now with our technology that we can actually use technology that may not be so good for us, but use it to make good for us. And HGTV definitely will expand that horizon. It will show you what other cities look like, and maybe just not the glam and glitz that sometimes you get from other shows. But you can actually see sort of what real homes look like. You can see the price. You can see all the nooks and crannies of it. So it's a great way to put different things in your data bank that maybe you have not experienced. I know a lot of people live on the East Coast or maybe live in the city that, you know, they're used to that city living. And, you know, when you start to think about going different places, maybe going down south or, you know, going to, you know, other places, California, Atlanta, different places, that it looks very different. It's completely different, you know. It's a whole different, yes, Oregon. Going to different parts, and you're looking at these places, really? This is what this looks like? And you'll be able to see it. Yes. So it's definitely great for that on HGTV. It's definitely great for that. So now, here's what you're going to do. Right before you go to bed, you're actually going to really get into the energy so that you can find the location for your new home. And you're going to begin to affirm this to yourself in dreams. So as you begin to just relax, right before you fall off, right before you close your eyes, really visualize yourself. Really visualize yourself finding your new home. If you want to take someone with you, I would recommend that who you take with you, or one of the goddesses you can take on your journey, is the goddess Nephis, or Nephis, as they said, or Nephed. You can take her with you. She is the goddess of the house. She really sits over that. A lot of it. She deals with magic. That's one of the things that she definitely deals with. Nurturing, love. She does all of that. She is sister to Aset, or the sister to Isis. That is her sister. That's who you want to take with you. You can also take the goddess Vista with you as well. So those are going to be some really good goddesses to take with you. So now, as you get ready to go into that, what you're going to be affirming or setting your intention for is for through your dream to be shown your new location. You're going to ask for the new location. So what's going to happen is all of that, through location, you're going to ask for that to be shown to you. So when you wake up in the first thing you wake up, you're going to begin to write down anything, whether you get fragments, if different cities come to you, if different states come to you. Yes, different states come to you, different places, maybe different parts of the continent, country. I want you to just begin to write those things down. And what you're looking for in your dreams is you're looking for clues. You're looking for all of these different clues. You know, so it could be a lot of things. Like, for instance, if maybe you see a rose. You may see a rose. It may remind you of the time that actually you spent some time in North Carolina when maybe you were at a family member's house. You know, you may see water and you may see sand, and it may remind you of the time that you were actually in Belize. I know for me, like a lot of places and different trips and things that I've done, it reminds me of that. Maybe you see snow on the mountain, and that can remind me when I was actually in Colorado, when I used to live in Colorado, you know, these things. Or maybe you see the actual physical house and you can look at the landscaping around it and put the clues together. Often when I'm doing the Akashic record reading, that's one of the things that my traveling has helped me, because it helps me to get acquainted with where I am on the planet, you know, by looking at what it looks like. You can tell where you are. You can feel the energy of that particular place and how it feels and where it is. And so these are some of the clues that you're looking for when you're looking for this space of where this is. So you want to do this for a couple of nights over and over again to really do that, to really observe those clues of helping you. Really ask the goddess to help show you that too. And so you know, often people will tell me when we've done this as well, some people will say, you know, the next morning, Ms. Boo, while I was driving to work, I don't know why, something told me to just go left, and I kept driving, and the house that I wanted, I seen it. It was right there around the corner. Or I was on my lunch break and I walked outside to go get something to eat, and I looked over and there was the apartment for rent, and it looked exactly how I imagined my sacred space to be. You know, so look for these clues and then begin to follow that inner voice from within. You know, follow that inner voice within to begin to connect with that. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. Hopefully that was helpful to you guys who are looking for a new place to begin to work with that energy, so that you can begin to bring up those places, you know, that you're going to go, because it will lead you there. It will lead you there as well. It'll lead you to that new sacred space. Space that you want. Often people have said that dream homes, I know for me, showed up in my dream many years earlier than I actually came into that space. It showed up. So these are some ways to do it. And even if you're in your safe space, and maybe right now you don't want to move. For a lot of people, a lot of us in parts of the country and even the world, even if you wanted to move, too cold and too much snow to do it. This isn't the time to do it for you. It's just not feasible. So now you can think about how you can change things within your sacred space that you're in, or maybe you just want to change those things as well. Yes. You want to change those things as well. So now, what happens when you get into your new place? When you get in your new place, how do you set yourself up there? Once you're in the new place, the first thing you want to do is you do want to keep the spirit of the new place that you're in, but you also want to connect with that spirit space as well, too. So you want to make sure that you're connecting with that sacred space as well. So the other thing that you can do is you want to begin to get rooted. You want to get deep-rooted into the place that you're in, and you can do this many different ways. One of the ways, and I don't know if you guys heard the show with, I call him Chief Raka, but Jeremiah, that came on, and he talked about how he actually rebuilt an old historic home by using a pendulum. Now, you can also use your pendulum and do some dowsing when you come into your sacred space as well, too. You can use the pendulum, and you can use some dowsing to come into your space. If you haven't heard that show, that's a great show to do, to go back and listen to, but you can get a pendulum. And when you come in your sacred space, one of the things you can do after you've done all of your clearing, and I would encourage you guys to go back and listen to all the shows I did on ancient art of sacred spaces, of this way, energizing your space, and sacred space clearing. Go and listen to all those shows. Wealth of information there that's going to tell you about that as well. But what you're going to do with your pendulum, once you've cleared your space, you can begin to use your pendulum for placement of things in your sacred space. If you want to know the best position for your couch, maybe where it's, which position to face your bed, you know, if a particular room needs some more energy clearing, if you need to change certain things that's in there, maybe you're in your sacred space, but you want to change things around, you want to do some things different, get your pendulum, I know most of you know how to work with a pendulum, and you can almost use anything as a pendulum. If you have a string and you have a charm, you can do that. You can also take a string and take one of your rings and put it on there. You can also make that into a pendulum. So it doesn't have to be anything fancy, although you can pretty much now go to any Botanica and find you a decent pendulum, and you can begin to work with it. But you're going to use your pendulum, and you can see, is there some things that you need to do? You can even go in to different corners within the areas of your room. Go into different corners of your room and begin to see if there's stagnant energy there. See if there's some stagnant energy there. You see? See if it's some stagnant energy. You can begin to have the pendulum there. So programming the pendulum is fairly easy. You can probably Google it, and I'm sure that this should probably just my language. I know you can Google it. It'll tell you with so many different ways to program it. But the simplest way is that once you do have the pendulum, you have it on the string, what's important is to make sure that the string is even if you're making your own pendulum. If you're using some form of crystal or some form of jewelry, clear the energy just so it's clear that you're using it for that particular purpose at that particular time. So just clear the energy. Do a simple clearing, not anything. You don't have to get caught up in all the woo-woo. But you want to clear the energy, and you want to put it on there. If it's a particular ring that, or something that was given to you by an ancestor or maybe your mother or your father or someone you have, ladies, this is something that you can do. I know for me, sometimes when I want to shift some things around in my space, which is all the time, I take my pearls and I take one of my, I have a blue sapphire druzy ring. I take that and I put it on there, my pearl and my druzy ring, because they have their own properties as well. So you can use that. You can use a string of pearls. You can use a necklace. You can do it with that. It's so many different things that you can actually use as a pendulum and begin to use it with that. But you want to program it to find out which way is your yes and which way is your no. You can simply ask that question to the pendulum. Show me which way is yes. Show me which way is no. So you know which way is yes and which way is no. So then you can take it and go through your house, and you can do that as well. Mm-hmm. And begin to work around the room. Begin to work around the room and use that to do that. Reflection, of course, we all know that. But you're definitely going to get to the corners and see if you need to shift some things around. I often try to do that a lot. I try to change different things as the seasons change as well, and do that as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you can begin to do that. Know if any of these tools we're using, whether we're using goddess energy, whether we're using the pendulum energy, it's really just reflecting that energy which is within yourself, your higher consciousness. So these are just tools. It's anything to be afraid of. It's not anything to do. It is really showing you that reflection. It's something that has been around since the beginning of time. So, you know, since the beginning of time. So you don't need to be afraid. If you're afraid and you're scared to do it, then don't. But for most of us, I know we're already working on this as well. So now you can begin to do that, and that's how you're going to shift some things around in your house to begin to do that. So now let's talk about planting roots. And let's go into a light meditation here. Let's see how much time we have. Let's see. Oh, we're good. We still have about an hour. So what you're going to do is to begin to plant roots. This is in your new space that you have. And what you're going to do is you're really going to take yourself into a visualization. And in this visualization, what you're going to do is you're going to go and begin to communicate with the land, with the physical land, on your sacred space. So we're talking about now connecting the physical land on your sacred space. So even if you live on a flat land, or it doesn't matter if you live in an apartment building, you could be living on the 50th floor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So you're going to begin to get into the energy of really, really connecting the land and allowing the land to begin to speak to you, you know, to speak to your heart, speak to your spirit, you know, of its history, to tell you about its history, tell you about its wisdom, to tell you what was sacred on that ground in ancient times, you know, what actually happened on that particular space that you're at. And you're going to connect yourself with the earth, with the land, you know. One of the things about the land is about the foundation. It's the part that really helps support and sustain you. This was actually an exercise that a really good friend did when they were about to buy one of the places. And just by doing this simple exercise right here, what she discovered from one of the places that they were about to buy is that they had some cracks in the foundation. That's what it told her. She was buying a used house, an older house. And land told her that because so much things have happened on this particular space, that this house did not stand on the foundation, that the foundation was cracked and therefore it would be plumbing problems and she would eventually have a lot of different problems in this particular space. So now, this is important to really begin to recognize about connecting with the land on this space, the space of where you're going in your sacred space, particularly if you're thinking about purchasing property on an older space. A lot of things can come up. It will tell you about what has happened on those sacred grounds as you begin to do that. So what you can actually do, too, is you can begin to really, when you get ready to move in, have a blessing ceremony. You know, you want to bless that sacred space once you've made that decision and that is the space that you want to be, you know, that you move into that particular sacred space. And, you know, actually you brought up a very good point, Rich. For those that do have landscape, it's important to keep the outside of your home looking just as cared for, connected to as the inside. That's important. Yeah, that's very important. So if you have trash and you have all these things right outside in front, you know, you definitely want to do some decluttering. And I talk about this, that's sort of the first step before you actually get ready to get into sacred space clearing. That's the first step before you even get ready to do any kind of sacred space clearing, is to clear up what's there. Now, some people will say, well, I live in an apartment building, or I live in sort of some co-op, or, you know, the front space doesn't belong to me. Oh, yes, it does. If you are entering and crossing a threshold, it belongs to you. So whether that's an apartment building or whether it's a high rise, it doesn't matter. And so if you see some trash, if you see something out there that really is just that, because dust and dirt and things that are out of place, just like in our sacred space, that's hanging around, all that is negative energy. This is why our ancestors never believed in having square houses. They had round houses because they felt that evil lurked in the corners. You ever seen, that's why the expression of people who do things hiding in the cut, you know, somebody that just sits and waits in the cut and that does things underhandedness. This is where what they call evil, but I think you guys know, negative energy or negative spirits, this is where they go. Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is why, that's right, shoveling the snow from in front of your space or raking up leaves or cutting your grass, you know, just keeping it nice and clean, keeping these things around your sacred space, picking up these things is so important. Very, very important. It's important to do. It's important to be connected with that energy. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is. So thank you for bringing that up. But yes, very good point as well, too. So you want to have a blessing ceremony that you do. You can do it many ways. It's really no. You can use sage. Some people like to use sage, have sage burning things. What you want to do is actually you kind of want to do the exercise we did with the star and walking through the house. You can actually do that with sage. Keep all of the windows closed. Front door, everything closed until you actually go around all and walk the labyrinth of your house. Niatoma is another god. She's the goddess that works over sacred spaces. She's a great one to bring into your sacred space, the goddess Niatoma. But you want to walk through your sacred space. And you can burn sage, you can burn incense. If you have young children, pets, or someone that's going to be sensitive to maybe the smoke or have upper respiratory things going on that they can't digest the smoke, you can actually take lavender. And you can also take, I'm going to think of another essential oil you can use. You can use lavender as a great one, and frankincense is another one, and mix it together with some distilled water, and you can mist all throughout the house. That's another way to do it as well, too. You can mist all throughout the house, but you can take this. If you're going to use the sage or if you're going to use an incense to go through the house, then once you've done every single room in the house, then what you want to do is you want to open up the windows and really just do sort of that ceremony. It will allow all of the negative energy, everything that doesn't belong, to be cleared out. Then you'll leave the windows and everything open for a couple of days. You may even notice that when somebody moves out of an apartment and they move, naturally our human instincts, you see if the apartment complex has a cleaning team or some people that comes in, a cleaning service, you'll notice that after they finish, leave all the windows open. Now, they say it's just to clear it out, but it's really getting rid of the energy, allowing the chi, because that's what it is, and that's what feng shui is about. It's about allowing that chi to flow in freely, allowing that chi to come in and energize all of the space, everything that's in there. So you can do it by sage, burning sage and incense. You can use some essential oils. You can do that. I also talked about in the past show how to make moon water and rainbow water. You can use moon and rainbow water to do that as well, too. You can also sprinkle the salt in the corners. That was something that the Zulus did as well. If you have babies or children or pets in the home, there's some alternatives on that. Again, a lot of that stuff is in a lot of the feng shui shows that I did in the past. So if you haven't downloaded it, it's definitely a great one to do that. But really what you're doing in this blessing ceremony is sort of kind of having a welcoming party for yourself and the spirit of your home. So you want to go in that light meditation and do that welcoming ceremony with the spirit in your home, because that's important to do as well, too, making that connection with all of those things in there. Let's talk about some more of the scents that you can use, because there's quite a few scents that you can actually use to do. This time of the year, you know, we talked about cinnamon. There you go. Yep. Talked about cinnamon. That's an excellent one that you do, and just have that scent up there. Just have that scent to put up in there to do as well, too. So it's definitely going to be another thing that you can do. If you can also, what else? I was going to tell you something else you can use. You can also use music as well, too. So you can use music. Music is always going to be great for you to use to clear space out. You can do it by clapping as well, doing clapping. If you have somebody else, you can make it sort of a family thing. Maybe if it's you're going to be in the sacred space with yourself and someone else, you can go through the house and the clapping sound, just the clapping will do as well too. The clapping sound. So you can do some clapping to do that as well. The clapping will help, music will help, sound will help as well. We talked about dowsing, using pendulums to do the dowsing with. You can also use a dowsing rod as well, too. That's going to be very, very helpful for you as well. So all those things, you can ring the bell. I did that in one of the shows. Yes, you can take a bell, and you can ring the bell and do chants, dance, as you go through the house as well, too, and begin to do that as well. I actually did a whole bell ringing thing, how to go through, how to bring, make your tray, go step by step on how to do all of this clearing in the past show. So to get more into that, you can actually do that, how to use crystals as well, too. But the bell, I love the bell. Playing music, using the bell, I talk about the clothes to wear, how to begin to make your house into a labyrinth and walk the labyrinth within your home, all of those things that we talk about here tonight, because it is important, especially during this time of the year. Again, we spend more time usually inside the house and also preparing ourselves for when those things let us down. Like if there is a storm and, you know, do you have the things that you need to sustain yourself if you don't have lights? You know, this is a great time to really get into your candles, you know, all the different colors of the candles, and begin to bring those color candles with you and have the candles, have mini candles. I know last year there was some times we were without power here and we had to use candles and different things to do. So bringing in all of those elements of earth, air, fire, and water, making sure you have enough water to sustain yourself as well, too, should you have to go days without, you know, without actually having a way to leave your space, making sure that you have certain foods, you know, certain things that you can bring into your sacred space that you can use, that you can eat. We also did a show on that as well. So these are the times to start to think about those things. You know, make sure you have a way to stay warm. You know, think about sort of some of those cuddly things that you need, different batteries that you may need, you know, downloading the remix shows so that if you're not able to log on, you can have these shows archived and begin to listen to them on different devices as well, too. So these are all just really, really great things. I wanted to talk about some other things here. I'm trying to look through my notes and see where it is so that we can go over it. But I think what we'll do is for a little bit here, we can talk about different colors that you can use. That's always important that you can use in your sacred space as well. And so when you're trying to connect the elements, you can actually just like think about yellow, the color yellow. Yellow is for mental clarity as well. So it deals with all of those things of air. So we're talking about the colors and as they relate to elements in your home, which can be very different than how we relate to colors other ways. And so the color blue, using the color blue within your sacred space, really connects to emotional balance. You know, it really, when we think about the color blue and emotional balance, and that connects with the element of water. That really just puts you into that energy, really tapping into that energy of water. And then the color red, which is really just that active moving force, you know, just really moving, you know, force. That's the color red, you know, which is connected with fire. And then the color green. Green has a lot of grounding energy. So the color green is a very powerful color to really begin to connect with the element of earth. So those are some of the colors that you can begin to use throughout your sacred space and begin to use them in that particular order and do that. It really is good. So let's talk about shadow boxes. Shadow boxes. When we talk about our home and shadows, one of the things that I like to do is I like to find what they call can lights or the spotlights. And so places where you have things, one of the things to avoid, because if you notice, if you have a corner that's left empty, a lot of times corners is where we will start to pile things up, corners, because it's where low energy lies. And so we'll typically pile things up. But what you can do is you may find a plant, maybe you want to put a table or something in the corner. And then what I like to do is I like to create different shadow effects through illumination, through using light throughout the house. So you can actually go to a store like Target, Walmart. If you have an IKEA near you, you can actually go to IKEA. I love IKEA. IKEA has these little spotlights, and they are like $5 to $7. You can buy them, and you can use them to create shadows throughout the home. And that just really just gives your whole energy, your whole space, gives it a whole completely different energy. It takes on a whole light, and you'll know. So whether you want to use your pendulum, you can use your pendulum, or you can just trust your instincts within yourself and look around yourself. Go to www.ikea.ikea, and you can go there. You can also order your stuff online. So if there is not an IKEA near you, you can actually do that. But what you want to do is you're going to begin to put these little can lights where there's darkness. Now, where there's dark light and you need to bring it, so maybe there's that corner just right over there in the living room where it just doesn't illuminate for you. And you can actually find one of those can lights, and you can get the ones that sit on the table or the one that sits on the floor, and you can just cut it on, and it just gives that different ambiance. It changes the energy. It really sort of changes the energy. So that is definitely where you want to go do that to help light up, energize your space. I call it shadow boxing, because throughout your house, if you look, you probably have spaces where lots of shadow is, where lots of darkness is, and you want to lighten that up, particularly this time of the year for those of us. And if you know that you are susceptible to really having energy very low during this time of the year, that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. You want to do that to definitely bring up that shadow energy anywhere there's shadows at. And you can use tin cans. Those are excellent for just kind of putting a little spotlight there. It will just give the whole place a completely different need. Mm-hmm. Another thing that you can do is use the element of water, because what water does is it water really brings in feminine energy. You know, a lot of feng shui is about the yin and the yang, or the tefnut and the ju. And water also is another excellent way to stimulate abundance. So if you want abundance to flow in your home, water is one of those great ways to do it. Another thing that you do is if you have an aquarium, a fish aquarium. So if you don't have room to just get you an all-out aquarium, you can actually get you just goldfish, you know, get you a goldfish or get you one of the betta fishes, and they come in some beautiful colors. And you can put that in a particular corner in your house and put that there, because water really taps into that energy of great mother, you know, really tapping into that. Placing an aquarium, you can do that. Or even if you go in Walmart, I think even now, for those of us who live in the States, you can go in the dollar store. You can find these water fountains. And you can put that in the prosperity area of your home. Now, one of the shows that I did, I talked about the Bagua map. And the Bagua map teaches you or shows you how to map out different areas. So we have an area of prosperity in our home and all the different areas in our home, area, our spiritual area in our home, area of health. And on the Bagua map, once you put that down, you'll be able to see where you can actually find your prosperity area in your bedroom, if you want to put it in your bedroom, or if you want to just look at the prosperity area of your house. And that would be a great place to actually place a water element. One of those little fountains, you know, those beautiful little fountains that they have, they just have the little ones that on the desk, and you just put it there and just have water flowing. This also helps you to get that particular energy and put that over there as well too. So you can put those stores. Yes, Kalimar, go to stores like Ross and stores like TJ Maxx. All of those stores, you can actually find one of those little table waterfalls. You can find them for as less as $9. You can get that, and you probably can Google Bawa Map and find one for free online. The last show that I did, I gave out the link, and you can actually find back and listen to that show, and it's a link where you can actually download the map for free and get the Bawa Map and take a look and take a look at how to do that as well. So that's another thing that you can do. If you want to get a fountain for outside, if you want to bring that chi inside and you have enough space, you can put one outside. Typically on the right side of the door as you enter, this is a good place for it. It's allowing the abundance to really begin to flow in, to flow into your home, because this is what you want. You want that chi to come in, to flow inside your home. So you want to put like a little fountain or something on the inside of your home just as you come in, or on the outside. But on the right-hand side, have that chi continue to flow in. You can also do it at work as well, too. Some other things that you can do is you can actually have a boat. So you know how they have those little model boats? You can have a boat with a sail. You have a boat with the sail up, and that sail also is a symbol for abundance to begin to sail in. So you want the sailing ship facing towards your particular area. So whether if you're at work and you have that boat, you want that boat to face towards you. You see, you want that to face towards you. And you also want that to face towards your home. So these are all the things that you can begin to do for abundance. These are all the things that you can do for abundance. Another thing that you want to do, and this is really, really good as well too. No, it doesn't matter. The water is always going to flow from the waterfall. It doesn't matter. Typically, it's going to flow just the energy of the water, because inside the, this is a question in the chat room, should the water flow in any particular direction? So the water, actually, if you have a fountain, it's going to be recycled. So this is just symbolic of the chi continually flowing. So it's going to go down, and then it's going to recycle, go back up, and come back down. So it's going to really do that complete formation of going up and down and up and down and up and down. So inside a water fountain, the water goes in, and it gets recycled through a pump. So really what you're doing is having that flow. So very good question there, very good question. Another thing that you want to do is you want to make sure. Now, I used to do this long before, because this was something my mother, this is one of her pet peeves that she used to have. I used to do this all the time. Then when I was very, very young, I always had this interest with feng shui. And I found out what it meant, you know, symbolically. And, of course, we know that's what we're talking about. But also it helps. Is all of your drains in your house. So that means the drains in your bathroom, your tub, the drains in the kitchen. Cover your drains. When they're not in use, close them. Close them. Because this is the area where chi will fall. Chi will follow that. Because the chi flows in the water. And through our drains and our pipes, this is where water flows. So these are spots, these are portals where the chi can fall out. In outer space, and you don't want that. It's wasted chi. So if you find that throughout, maybe you just can't hold on to money, or money is just kind of slipping out, or time is slipping out, or things are just, you're just sort of missing, check and make sure that you are not letting chi just flow through you, flow out of you. Making sure, covering your drains, make sure all of them. And by making sure the drains are clear, what this does is it also stimulates the flow when it comes to those things, the finances. That's number one. Do not ever let water just sit stagnant. That's key too, because stagnant water, we know what it feels to be stagnant. So if possible, you want to make sure that you don't let things sit stagnant. Yes, I talked about that obsidian in another show. Another thing is to cover the toilet seat. I know men and brothers, we women are fanatics about that, but keeping that toilet seat down, that's a big portal for chi. That is a definite thing to do to keep the toilet seat down. You want to begin to do that. So definitely, and I talk about that as well. You're going to cover your drains with the stoppers. You know, most of us in the kitchen, your drains, you have stoppers there. So even in some of the older places, they have the little stoppers. So if there is a drain there that is not stopped up, definitely want to cover those drains when it's not in use. You want to cover that with the stopper. That's important. You want to keep that chi, you want to keep that positive chi, you want to keep that positive chi within. So those are some things to definitely do within the house to keep that energy where it needs to be there. That's an excellent one. Yes. So that was something that I used to do all the time. Once I got into really sort of feng shui, I recognized that. But you want to keep your drains covered whenever possible. That's going to be key. It's definitely going to be key. I wanted to talk about some more about colors a little bit. Now, if you're thinking about painting your home, which I think is great to do, if you have a small space, you want to make sure that you maximize it, not having the colors sort of kind of interact with each other, because we know certain colors come together and they create a different type of energy. But one of the things that you can do when painting and energizing your sacred space, maybe you want to paint an accent wall or something, you want to make sure that the paint that you use, there's two different types of paint you can use. And I talked about this in one of the other feng shui shows as well, too. You can use a water-based paint, or you can use a latex paint. You know, you can use those two different types. But what you can actually do is take a clear quartz crystal. And what you can do with the clear quartz crystal is you can actually charge that crystal, and then you're going to put it inside your to charge the paint before you put it on your wall. So you're going to charge the paint before you actually put it in. So if you have the paint and you know that you're getting ready to paint maybe the next day, you want to charge your crystal and have it there to keep it there until you're ready to paint. Now, once you begin to paint your wall, the first thing to do when you get ready to get in and paint is you can actually sit down, take some time, think about the energy that you want that particular sacred space to have, and then you're going to take, before you actually paint, you're going to paint those signs and symbols on the wall. So, for instance, you may want a particular room to be charged with love, so you can paint heart there for love. You may want a particular room to be charged with health. So you're going to paint those particular things on the wall. Those things, maybe a caduceus you want to paint on the wall. And begin to paint these signs and symbols all over the wall first. Have them there. This is a way that you can begin to charge this energy in the room. You see, this is how you're going to begin to charge that. And then what you're going to do is go back over it and paint it, because you've actually charged your paint first. So you have your clear quartz crystal in there, and I would buy one for whatever each one of those cans. Charge that energy into the paint before you actually paint the room. So now let's talk about choosing different colors to go into our home. And, of course, you always get to say, that's always going to be litmus test, is what feels right to you. But there are some suggestions of some things really coming from sort of this ancient position as well, too, and how someone wants to know, let me just answer this really quick. Did it affect you if other people in the house leave the toilet seat up? Not really. If you don't control them, which we don't control anybody, but if you're not a gatekeeper over them, so like a child, and what you want to do is just make sure that every time that you leave out, you close the drain. You do your part for you, because ultimately that's who it's impacting, you. I just kind of wanted to do that in there. So next, what we're going to do is talk about some of these colors, red. And we're going to talk about what colors activate within the home. This is a little different when we're looking at this. Red, what it does is it increases your appetite. This is what we know. And I talked about this on the feng shui shows as well. I just want to keep going back to them because it's a lot of information in those shows. That's why places like McDonald's, Burger King, that's why also the Panda, the Panda place, the Chinese restaurant, you'll see red everywhere. They all use red. They use red. Panda Express, there it is. They use red. There's also the McDonald's Corporation in California and many other places. They actually hired and at Kung Fu Panda, they also hired a feng shui expert. They hired a feng shui expert to come in and do the decoration, to get the colors and the decoration. So these things are done by design, and it works a little different than how we think about the colors when we're associating it to different things. So here are some choices just to let you know what else red activates. This is why a lot of times when you deal with athletes, you'll see them in red. You'll see them in red too, because red increases your appetite. It's connected with your physical strength. It also helps with excitement, also with passion, and also with action. So you'll see red. You'll see the color red. Red, 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 red. You'll see that red as well. Now, let's talk about orange and what color orange activates as well. When it comes into the color orange, the number one thing that orange, you see the color orange. You may see the color orange sometimes when you walk into a doctor's office. You'll also see this color orange in a lot of restaurants as well. And you see this orange in a lot of people's house, because orange is about a sense of community. It's about bringing people together. It's about community. So a lot of event centers will use the color orange because it's about bringing people together. It's about that sense of community. It is also about confidence, and it's also about really touching up with your heart energy as well, too. It's about connecting with your heart energy. It's about being optimist about the future and about things to come. It's really about being enthusiasm, you know, having that energy, keeping that energy up. All of these are the colors of orange. So let's talk about yellow, because yellow is one of those colors as well, too. A lot of times you'll see yellow, a lot of times babies' rooms as well, too. You'll see people want to paint their children's room yellow. You'll see yellow in the kitchen as well, too. You'll see yellow throughout the house. Now, yellow also has a lot to do with the intellect. That's what yellow has. Sorry about that. Y'all had to grab some. So yellow has to do with the intellect. So it deals a lot with energy of the intellect. It deals with that. It also deals with communication. Yellow is also about attention to details. So a lot of times in the hospitals, like I said, particularly the baby room, you'll see a lot of yellow. Schoolhouses, they use a lot of yellow, especially with the smaller children. It's really getting you into that position so that you can begin to pay attention to details. So whenever using that, yellow is also about achievement. Yes, the yellow school bus, there you go. And also expression, it's about freedom, and it's also about it's about academics. It has a lot to do. So you'll see yellow all around the school, you see? You see? You'll see all of those things around the color yellow. So next, what we're going to do is talk about the color green. And what green sort of activates in your house. It's about balance. It's about growth, it's about abundance, it's about replenishing, and it's also about healing, and it's also about harmony. It's about harmony. You see, it really is about harmony. So the color green. Mm-hmm. And then the other color we're going to talk about is the color blue. So when you see this color blue, blue really just activates those things when it comes to in our home, we're talking about. It's about activating. Wow, let me see. Blue is about activating our spiritual understanding, about tapping into that, our patience, our commitment. It's about inner peace, you know. It's about inspiration, you know, devotion and contentment and, you know. It also has a lot to do with our composure. It just really has that particular energy as well. Talk about purple and using these in the house as well too. And the purple has a lot to do with our spiritual perspective. So a lot of times you'll see the purple, you know, purple. The question someone is saying, why do we say my eyes are green with envy? Because here, Obsidian, I'll just go ahead and mention this, is that each color has a polarity to it. I've talked about this on many other shows. I want to go through and give these different colors here because these are the ones we're using for activation. But every color has a polarity. And whenever you have too much of something, like I know when dealing with aura, and I see a whole lot of green light, like a lot of green energy in a person's aura, it really shows that they have a lot of envy, you see, because that's the polarity to that particular color. And every color has it. It does. I want to go through these. We'll talk a couple of other things. And if we have opportunity, we'll talk about having too much does and why you want to keep it into a balance. You know how your mama says, much of anything ain't good for you? Well, that works the same way when we're talking about this as well, too. So we were talking about purple. Purple also activates our intuition, our calmness. It's very soothing. And it really connects with us on a spiritual level. So the other one is white. The other color is white. Now, we know white has a lot to do with purification, you know. White has a lot to do with purification. It also has a lot to do with balance. It also has a lot do with divine love. It has a lot to do with expansiveness as well. Now, too much white really puts you in a very sterile place. So that's why when you go to the hospital, you typically, I mean, they have changed their concept and to be more holistic, but you would see everything in white. Everything everything would be white because they wanted you to be in this very sterile place, and they needed to keep the energy sterile. This actually came down a lot of infections. Even working with things such as on the computer, they go into what's called the white room. So you have to be covered completely in white. Because this keeps the energy very sterile, you see. White also helps to connect with spirit as well, too. So that could be a whole another show. Right over there. And no, we're not talking about people. Let's keep it real. Let's not keep it low. Let's keep it real. Okay, so next, let's talk about black. Let's talk about black. Black is really when you're getting into the melon, when you're getting into the mysterious side, when you're going into the inner realms, when we're tapping into the melanin. It's about that rising energy. It's about the assertiveness, you know, of having black. You know, black is a very, very masculine color. When we began to talk about black, having those things about us, about black, you know. I just thought about something, sorry. Black really sort of almost represents power. And it also represents a place where ego can exist. Isn't that something? It also is the place where ego can't exist, in the darkness, in the black. You get it? Going within. It's about movement into the self, you know. It's about potential. So a lot of times, you know, when a lot of times men particularly, women too, but they love black. If you find a man, I was talking to a brother once, and his whole apartment was in black, you know, really takes you to that. It takes you into an area of really, really going into where potential is. This is where pure potential is. You know, this is it. Another thing, just since we want to talk about some of the polarity, and that is too much black, too much of that can be depressing. You see, it can be depressing. It really can take you into a depressed self, a state of mind. It can take you into a depressed place because you're going too far in. You know, this is a conversation I had earlier this week about going within, going within, going within. But you can. But going so far in to dark matter, you know, if you find that you're in a place where you want to keep everything dark, you don't want any light, you don't want nothing from the outside, you don't want anything, you want to keep your house dark, you want to stay secluded, you want to have dark furniture, you know, you don't want any lights on, this can take you also into a state of depression as well, too, in this darkness, you see. So too much of anything, and every color has its polarity. You want to make sure that you balance that out and we begin to take a look at that. So these are some real, some little things to think about when you want to go into colors and really get into understanding how to use colors within your home and how those colors are around you. Brown energy is really, really sort of connected with earth energy. You know, it has a lot to do with that earth energy as well, connecting with the planet and really getting into that. That has a lot. Let's see. How much time do we have? Oh, my. My. So, another thing. Let's talk about this. We have about 19 minutes left to go in the forum, and then we'll be in after hours as well. But just wanted to share some things with you guys as well. I think we covered a lot of different things. We talked about sort of how the musical portals that we have in our house. We have musical borders in our house. So using music is important. That's why we talked about that. And then also the light gateways. You want to have those light gateways there. If you have a favorite painting, maybe a particular picture that is on the wall, it can be something maybe done yourself or some artwork. This is a great way. And again, I just want to keep telling you the store. IKEA got what you need. If you don't have an IKEA near you, it's a great place to shop. And their prices are very reasonable for the things they ask for. But you can find a picture lot because you want to put some illumination there over that picture. You want to put some illumination there to have that. Also, another thing to do is maybe if you have a bowl, get you a bowl and put some citrine crystals in it, you know. Put you some citrine crystals in it. One thing I love about working with citrine, and I have it, it is a stone of prosperity. And this particular year, I believe it is this year, it is the stone of this year. According to Feng Shui, it's one of the stones of this particular time. And what's interesting about the citrine is that actually the citrine and the amethyst is really the same stone. Yeah, it is. The citrine and the amethyst is really the same stone. One is just left in the ground a lot longer than the other one. But the great thing about the citrine is that the citrine is one of the few crystals, because there's a couple of them out there, but this is one of the few crystals that you never have to clear the energy out of it. You never have to clear it. You know why? Because it doesn't hold any negative energy. It does not hold any negative energy. So get you a bowl, and you can put you some citrine inside of a bowl and have it sitting out. If you guys have small children, make sure you do not have this so that the little babies can put this in their mouth. You don't want to do that. But you can have this citrine. You want to charge it up. It is the stone of prosperity. It brings about a lot of things of wealth, a lot of things of healing. It does all of those wonderful things. So you want to begin to work with the citrine. The citrine is that stone. It does not hold any negative energy. So no worries about that. You can actually get that stone and begin to work with it right away. The first step in anything when it comes to doing sacred space clearing is the first thing you want to do is to make sure that you always make sure that you always do your clearing first. You want to clear your clutter first. That's the first thing you have to do before you can get into really doing some sacred space clearing. You have to do some clearing as well. Again, I'm going to refer you back to those other shows, but we're going to talk about some of the things of why it's important to do these. Is to get your house in order. You want to do that. You want to definitely do that. In another life, I used to be a neat freak, a complete neat freak. I've calmed down some, and I'm not as crazy with it, but it is very important to me how my sacred space is, because your sacred space is, this is your altar. It is your altar. It's your huge altar. Now, we may have many altars inside of our house, throughout our house, but your sacred space, that's your altar. That's it. When you're walking in, it's your altar. So look around. You can look around you, and we did this in the other show. I'm not going to go through the whole thing of it. I'm not going to redo that. But if you look around and you notice you have a lot of things on the floor, these is where the negative energy is, and this is pulling your energy down. So if you walk into a room and you feel it, it's pulling your energy down. It's pulling your energy down. And a little game that I used to play with my kids when they were young, and we still do it now, me and Baby Blue, but we have sort of this beautiful relationship with our sacred space. And it becomes a family, exercise to do. If you're alone, you can do it. I've even heard of people doing it with their friends, you know, that's in their home. So whether it's their cat or their dog or whatever, you can do that. If you begin to really set aside, we set aside time when we want to meditate. We set aside time when we want to listen to the remix. We set aside time when it's time to watch the football game, when it's time to do our reading and do these different things. Set aside time to really take care of your sacred space. It's just that simple. And get you a little timer. I have a little hourglass. And we start with the hourglass and do the countdown. And everyone goes into their room and they take about 15, 20 minutes. You can use a microwave, you can use a stopwatch, whatever. And you can begin to just go through each one of the rooms and begin to clean. Sometimes it can become overwhelming. But really, I have gone into people's houses and actually done readings for them based upon everyone who lives in that house. So a lot of times, know that your energy is mixed in, and everyone should have an opportunity to contribute to their sacred space. Make it an important place, not just for yourself as the mother, not just for yourself as the father of that space, but even the children. They need to know that this is a very sacred space for themselves as well, too. I guess I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. But there are certain things that you can do that if you have certain pets, certain things in your house that you don't want in there because it looks for low energy too, you can actually really keep that contained as well too. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that, that you can actually contain that as well, too. And certain vibrations will keep them out. They will go running to your neighbor's house or someone else's house. And so that's what you can do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to entertain that. That's a distraction. But listen, so... definitely what you want to do is you want to start picking up the clutter, but you can make it sort of a game. You can make it a fun exercise for everyone that's in the home to take part of it because it should be that place. It is the place where you really leave the outside world and you begin to come into your inner world. It should be. Home should be the place where you actually want to be. It's a place where you really, really want to be. And so definitely what you want to do is you want to clear out all of the clutter. You want to clear the clutter. You want to get rid of those things. All of those things hold energy. You understand? They hold energy. That's a reflection of you. You can look in drawers. You can look in your closet. You know, these all represent the subconscious mind, and different parts of our house represents different parts of us. Just like the temple of man that's in ancient Kemet that's built off of the man, all of these things. So in the kitchen, that's particularly important because that's your lifeline. That's the heart. That's the heart. That's the heart of your kitchen. It's the heart of you. You understand? That's where you feed your soul and your spirit. This is where you feed that energy at. So it's important. I have a rule in my house, and I grew up this way, and I think it has been this way for all of the women in my particular family, is that we don't go to bed unless the kitchen is clean. You don't. That's the heartbeat of the family. If you want to see a family that is not very well gelled together, look in their kitchen. You want to see a person that is not thriving, they're not in their place, feeling sort of their purpose. Look at their kitchen. Look how that is. That's going to tell you a lot about what is going on with them. You know, particularly look in their oven. You know, look inside their refrigerator. You know, look in there. Look at the kitchen. So it's important, you know, it's important for you to begin to get into sort of these different rituals when it comes to taking care of our sacred space, you know, as well. One of the things that Queen Afua had shared, and some amazing things, and you can get this in some of her books as well, too, that you can actually, and I've adapted to doing this, too, boiling some cinnamon sticks on the stove. So for sisters and brothers, or if you have a place, and you really just get into that energy of really cleaning sort of the kitchen, begin to boil some cinnamon on the stove. Find a pot that you're just going to use for that and put some cinnamon there. And we know that scents wake up so many things within us. It opens up so many portals with us. But that's also of purification. It has a lot to do with purification. It has cinnamon taps into that energy of desire. And particularly when you're in the kitchen cleaning, you know, really, really getting into that energy of cleaning and connecting with that energy, it's important. So even if you have to start out, and it's a lot of people who talk about this, but even if you have to start out by saying, I'm just going to make sure that there are no dishes out before I go to bed. If you have to start there, just take a small step and go there. Clean some lemon water. You know, try using some of these natural elements, some of these natural products to begin to clean with, you know, to begin to wipe down things. Take sort of some water, you know, charge it up. We talk a lot about the work with Dr. Emoto. And take you a fresh lemon and squeeze that fresh lemon into some water after you've charged that water up. Know, charge it up with love and charge it up with whatever you want to charge it up with and squeeze some lemon in it and take it and wipe down your refrigerator. You know, clean it out, you know. Clean out the refrigerator. Clean out all of those things in there that don't belong. If you have some rotten food in there, throw that out. You know, get that out. This is representing things within your home, within your heart, excuse me, that you're holding on to that you need to let go of. Do you have rotten fruits and vegetables in your refrigerator? You know, then check yourself. Check yourself within yourself and see what have you allowed to go rotten within you. Do you have things that have gone past the expiration date? You know, what things are you still holding on to that have expired out of your life? Let these things go. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. You know, if you have a jar of mayonnaise in your refrigerator that says it's expired, why are you holding on to it? Throw it out. You know, get rid of it. Right before I actually go to the grocery store and I do grocery shopping, my daughter knows that's sort of a ritual. You're going to take everything out the refrigerator. You're going to clean it down, make it nice and neat, put everything has a place. This is sort of being a good gatekeeper. You know, of course, I had to learn that fine line between being just the crazy mama and really keeping things in order. So really working with that, you know, and she knows, wipe down the refrigerator, we put everything together where it needs to go, what everything has its place, we put it in there and you open it up. You know, some of my friends often joke with me and they say to me, you know, your refrigerator looks like on MTV Cribs. When you open it up, you see all the stuff there. Well, there's a reason for that, because also it's connected with that flow of the chi. So usually we know the difference between watching This Old House and MTV Cribs. We are talking about people who have found ways, maybe not that we all agree with, but found ways to keep prosperity and chi flowing within their energy. So I keep them. Silverware. We know the importance of silver in different metals, and we're about to run out of time here. But we know the importance. Get you a little tray from the dollar store so you can put your forks where they go, your knives where they go, the spoons where they go. Put those things where they go. Have them there in an orderly fashion. Not forks, spoons, and knives. It's nothing worse than opening up a drawer and you can't, you know, find what you need. You know, do that. Have those trays at the dollar store for like a dollar. And you can put that there. It's going to make so much difference in your energy. Yes, and shine them. You can take a paper towel and just wipe them off after you wash them and put them in there. You know, that should be a sacred time for you. All of these things, these are things that really you're using. These are some of the tools that you have right in front of your face to impact what you're doing. Yes, clean the drawer out first. Yes, make sure you clean the drawer out first. Yeah, you don't want to have a dirty drawer and do that. And if you must, because I understand it's not about being perfect, and by, believe you me, I want you to understand it's not about being perfect. Find you one junk drawer. Don't make the whole kitchen a junk drawer. Find one and just say, this is the place that I'm okay with throwing things at. And once a month, make a commitment to go and clean that space out. That's it. You know, make a commitment. Make a commitment to do that. Same thing with your pantry. Same thing with the pantry. You know, Brother Panic jokes about how one day we were getting ready for a show and he heard me telling Baby Blue she better line them vegetables up. Yes, I think it's important. And as the woman of the house, as the nep head of the house, I think it's important that no matter who comes in my house, that I am able to tell you, if I'm not home, where you can go find stuff. So when my mother comes to visit, you know, or my father or my brothers or my sisters or friends, I could say, just go in the kitchen, the second drawer on the right, open that, and you'll find what you need. Go in the pantry on the third shelf, two cans over, you're going to find what you need. Simple. It makes it so much simple. You're looking for this. Look in the refrigerator on the third shelf. It's right there. You can get it. If this is my altar, my home is my altar, then you want to be able to work your altar. So when you get these push thoughts, when you get these channels to go do it, it's nothing worse than trying to find some seasoning when you've gotten this spiritual thing and you're digging through the cabinet. You can't even keep the channel of what is telling you what's coming through, telling you what to do because you can't find it. You're like, oh, I need some oregano. Wait a minute, where is it? I know it's in here. Where did y'all put the oregano? You know, it's over there with the pot. So those things are important to do. I don't know how much time we have. We have 30 seconds. I guess we'll go into a little bit of the after hour. I'll keep running my mouth here a little bit. But definitely you want to make sure that you download. If you like the show, like it. If you love it, leave a message. And don't forget to download. We're going to be doing a gym show again on Sunday. Peace and love, much love, warm spirit. Peace and love to all of you. Hit me up on Facebook on the Remix Family page. I'll be over there shortly. And I want to hear what you guys are doing in your spirit space. So we're going to keep going. If you're on the phone lines, we'll keep going for just a little bit. Just a little bit. We'll talk about some of the deeper meanings here. Whenever you have things all over the floor, all over your sacred space and on your floor. This is representing obstacles. Obstacles in your life. If you find that when you open your door, you're jumping over stuff, you got to step over stuff, you got to move to the side, you got to go to the left, you're creating obstacles in your life. And this is symbolic of how this is showing up. Clear that, because sometimes we have to come outside of ourselves, looking at places, think of our sacred space to help us find our place of balance and be able to continue to stay connected within ourselves. You know how your mama always told you, hold on. You know how your mama always told you, make sure, well, my mama told me, make sure you clean your house and clean your space, because guess what? You never know how you may have to come back to it. Whenever we would go on trips, and I think some of you have heard some of my traveling stories as a child, and we were always on some kind of trip going somewhere. She wanted the house to be spotless because she always said, you never know how you have to return. You never know. That's one of the worst feelings in the world, is to go to work and have to come home. You have to leave a mess to come into a mess. I mean, come on. that can get overwhelming. It can get so overwhelming. You know, sometimes I sat down and I flipped through the channels and I see these really, really interesting shows on TV. I don't get a chance to watch much television, but sometimes I see that some really, 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 really interesting shows on television. Yes, Esther, you took the words out of my mouth. Hoarders. Now, I know you guys don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you, and for those of you who have had readings with me, you know this. I don't get this a lot, but we got some hoarders. And sometimes I will let them know. I will let them know that you need to take care of your spirit space. We have people who are not sleeping in their bedrooms. And it's because of so much trauma and things that have gone on, that it has found itself oozing out into our physical reality. And one of the first places that this energy will begin to show itself up at is in your sacred space. You understand? In your sacred space, this is where it is. So it starts with, I don't feel like cleaning the kitchen today. Or, I'm too tired to go in my bedroom and go to sleep. You know, this is how it starts. This is why it's not good to set up things like ironing boards. It's not good to have chairs and things that you don't use. Because what happens is you will begin to use this as a place to dump your sorrows and your trauma. Now, think about it this way. When you come in, and some of you guys have very intense jobs, and you're dealing with a lot of people in the public, and you're dealing with a lot of different energy, and you're outside, and you're dealing with all kinds of things that necessarily within your own space, you would not choose to have these people, places, or things within your energy. So when you come in, you're carrying all of this energy inside your sacred space. And when you take these clothes off and you put them in places in your bedroom, let's say you just say, I'm going to dump it in my chair. That energy is resonating in that space. So while you're sleeping, all of that negative energy, all of that energy that you would not necessarily invite into your space, you have now just invited into one of the most sacred areas of your sacred space in your bedroom. So you do it again the next night, and you do it again the next night, and you do it again. And before you know it, that energy is so heavy that you can't control it. It becomes that way. And then all of a sudden, as life have it, we are here to experience, and sometimes that experience is not always good. Sometimes that experience is challenging. What happens is that something happens that really puts you in the position where now you don't have the time, you don't have the energy, you don't have the mental capacity to even clean it. Nights turn into days, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into a year or so. You understand? It just continues to grow. And so what happens is out of your natural instinct, you get up and say, guess what? I don't feel good in that room, so I'm going to sleep on the couch. And the cycle just continuously repeats itself. It repeats itself. It repeats itself again. It goes. And so now you're in the living room and taking this energy into the living room. And so then the living room becomes sort of this cluster. It becomes this cluster. And then you go from the living room to maybe another room in your house until eventually you have come to grips with this is who you are. So you've lowered your frequency, you've lowered your energy, and you've lowered your vibration. But here's the good thing. You can change that. You can turn a beat around. Yes. You can turn it around. You can turn it around. And I've helped many turn it around as well. You can turn it around. And it's by taking small steps. It's not about taking the whole thing. Typically, the difference between really sort of having sort of these different experiences and those individuals who are what we would call hoarders is different energy between that energy of hoarding is that something traumatic happens and they substitute a physical item to comfort them, to comfort their space, to make them feel secure. So they'll start collecting. You'll see them. Like they'll collect dolls and they'll collect tools. There was one man who collected tools and then there was someone else who just collected tissue or collect paper. This is sort of that compensation. Yes, cats. They will begin to collect these things and this collection just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And grow. They'll collect books, you understand. This same energy is the same energy or the same part of the brain that is triggered when we start to talk about addiction. So it can work the same way. And that addiction can also happen spiritually as well. When you get excited, when you get happy about something, this is why I've always been very big on feelings and emotion, because this is really what's driving you. The reason you get up in the morning, the reason you eat, everything that you do is based upon an emotion. It's based upon how you feel. So it's real important when setting down your own template energy, because this is about living life on your terms, your way, how you want to do it, you know, making it feel the way you need to make it feel. It's setting up good templates for yourself so that when things happen, when that storm comes, when that shake, that earthquake on our foundation comes, we would have set up enough things to sustain ourselves that even that crackish energy of hoarding, or even that energy of just really the thing that we have that's sucking the life out of us, we can still sustain ourselves and find ourselves back to who we are. So creating these rituals, whether that ritual is every single day when I get up, I'm going to make my bed. Something as simple as that will prevent you from taking the wrong pill. It will prevent you from taking the wrong pill. So when you're sad, you're right. When you're depressed, it's very hard, not impossible, to do that. But it's about taking a small step. And so you have to begin to recognize and really, really give yourself the credit that you deserve. So if you get up in the morning and normally you would take your towel and throw it on the floor, and you take your towel and you put it in the laundry basket, you need to recognize that. That's how you're going to start. So for those of you, there's no such thing as things being hopeless. The other thing, I worked with a sister for a couple of months and helped her get out of this energy. The first thing you do when you get up in the morning is you open up all of your windows. You open them, not the windows literally, but the blind. You let the light in. You let the light shine in. You let the light shine in. You open up all of your blinds. Let that light come in. Once you begin to open up all of the lights, then you're going to see. Allow that same spirit that you're doing all of this work with, that you're studying to know, your spirit of your higher self, to guide you where to start. The kitchen is always a great place because this is where the heartbeat of your sacred space is. No matter how small the kitchen is, it doesn't matter. This is where you start. Let the sunshine in. Let the light in. You know, put some cinnamon on. This is really going to help you to begin to get into this particular energy. And then start out with 5 minutes a day. Don't do any more. No more than 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes. 5 minutes that you do a day. After you spend 5 minutes in that sacred space, I want you to stop and I want you to do some journaling. If you don't do some journaling, if you can't do some journaling, everybody has all these smartphones. I want you to begin to record. Record what your thoughts are about that 5 minutes. And then the next day, spend another 5 minutes into that space. And you will see that those 5 minutes, those concentrated 5 minutes, are going to do better effort than you trying to say, I'm going to just clean everything today. And also, here's another thing. I know that some of you say when you're upset, I know Esther and a couple of Obsidian, you guys were saying when you're upset, that's when you can clean real good. It's a way to release energy. And yes, it is. That's excellent. It's a great way to release energy. But also make it a way to charge your energy too, because that's the balance. Because also what will happen once you, if you only use that as the trigger, as the key trigger, then sometimes that can become very tricky because you can become so angry that either A, you run out of things to clean. Now what you're going to do? You really want to balance that energy. So you're not just cleaning based upon that, but it is a way to release emotions. I definitely get that. But also use it as a way to charge. So I use it as a way to charge. I also use it as a way to energize. A way to charge and a way to energize. Use it for both. Use it for both. Because then you can do it. Because it may be a time in your life where you don't have anything to be angry about and you really need to clean. But that that happens. And sometimes, you know where that old saying goes, where somebody says, wait, I'm going to get it. I just kind of lost the whole little thought there. But it was about, you know, make your haters your motivators. I never agreed with that. Because how dare I allow someone to trigger me to be motivated? I don't need hate to trigger motivation, you see. So it's other places that you can grab from it. Yes, you can channel that energy and you can make it into positive energy that way. I think that's great too. But also find the balance of it. My haters are not my motivators. They're not. So, you know, it's a way that you can actually channel that to do, to use that to raise your energy. Because really that's the purpose. When someone walks into my sacred space, and this is something that I talked about in one of the other shows as well too, what happens is the goal is for them to come in and for their frequency to be raised just by being in the space. When my children come in my sacred space, when family and friends come in, their energy raises from being in that sacred space. But more importantly, my energy raises when I walk in my sacred space. I don't necessarily expect the world when I walk into maybe a store or if I'm going into work or if I'm doing it. I don't expect that place to raise my energy for me. No. I have my altar. I have my home. And when I cross over that threshold, once I open that door and I come in, I have crossed over into the threshold of my sacred space. It is sacred ground there. It is raising the frequency. My frequency gets raised when I'm here. So when I'm out and about, one of the things that I always say is I love going places. I love going different places. But my home is my sacred space. That's it. The whole home, every single room, from the bedroom, from the living room, from the bathroom, from the laundry room, from everything, every space there, because that is symbolic of connecting with you. So find a place in your sacred space. If you haven't given this some energy and some time, and begin to raise that frequency. Raise that frequency. You know, have your peace of mind everywhere. You can have peace of mind in your sacred space. You know, one of the greatest things is whenever my godson comes over, and he's about 2-3 years old now. Whenever he comes over, the energy, the life of a young baby, of children, that laughter, that energy, it's just, it raises the frequency. It is nothing better. Even when me and Sister Munya are on the phone, I hear, because she has a lot of children, well, I don't want to say it like that, but she has a beautiful family, beautiful children, and the babies in different ages, and just hearing that life in your space. Nothing can take the place of human spirit within a sacred space. That's joy, you know? So whenever friends and family comes over, or my daughter is here and she has her friends and they're over and they're playing and they're laughing, that just raises the frequency. It helps to take it to a whole nother level. So if you have children in your sacred space, you definitely want to have them there. Another plant to get is a bamboo plant. A bamboo plant. I talked about this on one of the Blue Blast calls as well, and also in your sacred space as well. The bamboo plant is one of the fastest growing plants on the planet. It's the planet of prosperity. It carries that color green, and it really utilizes a lot of energy. You know, the energy we give off. We talked about the exchange of our plants. We talked about the chaos water that I talked about in the other show, and to put your feet in at the end of the day. And by the way, there was a sister on Facebook, and she sent me a picture. She said she did the exercises of taking her feet and placing it in water and really visualizing releasing everything she needs to release out of her energy and her aura into the water, and she fed it to her plant, and this plant just sprouted up out of nowhere the next day. And over on the Remix family page, I put up my pictures about my kidney beans that I have, and they have grown tremendously. I've also started giving the chaos water to my trees and to other plants in my house as well, too. And they love that. We have this unique connection between ourselves and the planet that cannot be separated. No matter how many times we try to close ourselves indoors, stay in the house, never touch the ground, or any of that, we still have this connection. The trees give off carbon monoxide. I mean, they take in, carbon monoxide. We give off carbon monoxide. The trees take carbon monoxide in. They give off oxygen. We take in oxygen. It is this exchange between us and nature. Nature and the natures, the gods, the goddesses. We have this connection between them. And so things that we expel out, they take in as life. And what we take in as life, they expel out. So use these plants, use these things in your home to have them around you, to have that connection. To have that connection between yourself and sort of that give and take relationship we have with plants and trees on the planet. That is our connection to the Mother Earth, you know? That's the connection there. It really is, yes, Kalimar, very refreshing and bringing in so much energy, so much life. It keeps that chi going. A bamboo plant is excellent as well, too. Excellent to have them in there. Mm-hmm. And begin to give them some of the chaos water. And if you guys missed it, it's very simple. Make sure your feet and everything clean and you don't have, us ladies, no smelly, smelly good on there. But just make sure everything is just nice and clean. And then just take your feet and immerse them into, if you have a basin or a bowl, put your feet into the water. And really just do a reverse meditation starting from the top chakras and really kind of going all the way down and really sort of pushing and really pushing, sending that energy into the water. We know that water is a very powerful conduit. It's a place where life force flows, where energy flows, where current flows. And so you're going to really kind of send that in there. And what you'll see, you'll start to see little light swirls, water. This is how you know that this is actually happening. And so any of those, we pick up a charge as we're walking around throughout our day. Just being where we are, our bodies are filled with electricity. And we pick up a charge. And those charges go into our body and they send off sparks and different things in our brains and all kinds of energy gets wound up within us. And so you're going to send that energy that you don't need, that energy that you need to release from yourself down to the water. And then you're going to offer that as a blessing to all of the plants and your trees. So whether they're indoors or outdoors, you're going to give that chaos water to them as a blessing. That's the gift, you know, that's the gift that you want to give. You always want to make sure that you're giving back to nature. That's our reflection, as above, so below. We have this connection there. So you want to keep some type of live plant. This was a couple of things that my mother told me when I was kind of young, going off to college, that you always want to keep something living other than yourself in your space. So whether it was an animal, whether it was a plant, or you need something else that is living in your space besides humans. And this is a good measure about how energy is flowing, how your chi, how your life force chi is flowing through your sacred space. So get you a plant, you know. get you something else, you know, get you some other things. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They will grow, those bamboo plants will grow like nobody's business. Nobody. Yes. And you're absolutely right, Esther. You'll breathe better. You'll sleep better. Your sacred space will feel better. You can do that. Also get you a cactus because you can use it for so many other uses. You can get a cactus plant and it will absorb all of that negative energy, any negative energy that's there. And when we think of negative, we're not necessarily, or I'm not necessarily speaking of evil energy, just negative energy, energy that has been sort of expelled from you, that you don't need, that you don't want to have connected to you. Like I said, throughout our day, when we come in, we've been connected with many different people. I know me in the sessions and just going out on my day-to-day, I'm connected with a lot of different energies. So showers and baths, cleansing is important to definitely make sure that you get into the cleansing. So taking a shower, taking those affirmations, for those of you who have had meetings with me, taking those affirmations and doing that, you know, saying those affirmations while you're in the tub, while you're in the shower, spending that time, getting into the naked time. And for all of you who have the audio workbook, that is, I talk about let's get naked, how to get naked and really get in touch with that. Another great exercise that you can do, and by the way, a great place or a great plant to put in your bathroom is actually your bathroom. It's a great place, especially for a bean plant because it loves the moisture, you know. You know, it loves moisture, so you can put it there. You can put a bamboo plant in the bathroom. It loves that energy that is there. But one of the things that you can also do after you've done taking a shower or bath and you're getting out is really cut off the lights. And this is a great time. I talk about some of these things in Let's Get Naked. And for those of you who haven't got the audiobook and you want to, you know, you can just go to www.msblueblast.com and you can download it. There is no wait time. Unlike the readings, there is a bit of a wait there, but you can download it instantly. It's over 4 hours, and we do so many exercises. It really helps you tap into that energy within yourself and really working with it. I've gotten so much feedback from all of you and how this has helped to transform your lives in so many ways. So I definitely give thanks for that as well. That was definitely my intention. It helped to do that with me. You want to make sure that when you're in the bathroom, is that what you can begin to do is cut off the lights. And while you're in the bathroom, begin to touch your skin. Begin to feel how your skin feels. Feel how your body feels. Take some time to really get connected with not just the spiritual side of you, but also that physical part of you, a physical part of your body. When was the last time that you touched your legs? When was the last time that you placed your hand on your shoulder? See, one of the things that we want to make sure we're not forgetting is our bodies, our physical body responds to touch. So just like it's important to nourish our mind and take care of our sacred spaces, you want to make sure you're also taking care of your physical body, not through just through nutrition and exercise, which is also important, but you also want to begin to make sure the power of touch. And just spend some time touching and recognizing those things within your body. When was the last time you touched your knees? When was the last time you touched your stomach or you touched your neck or you touched your arm or you touched your toe? Really take this time to begin to examine your body. For us women, really begin to touch. This is also a way to make sure you're doing these self-tests when it comes to our breast health and when it comes to our lymph nodes and all of those different things, and men as well too. Really begin to touch your body, you know, finding out. Often, if there's a brother particularly that really has this relationship with his car, they can notice when there's a scratch. They can notice when something has changed on the vehicle. They know when something's not right because they're constantly washing it and they're touching it. So now you have to begin to get into touching yourself. Touching yourself, not for sexual pleasure, touching yourself for a connection. Our spirit is housed within our physical body, but our physical body responds to our touch too. And sometimes while we're waiting for someone else to spark places within ourselves, we first have to know where they are for ourselves. So this is not about a sexual experience. This is about a sensory experience and being very grounded and being very connected. And this time of the year, it's very easy to get ungrounded because we're not outside as much. We're not playing and rolling in the grass. We're not walking barefoot outside, for most of us anyway, on this part of the hemisphere. Begin to ground yourself by getting in touch with your physical body. When was the last time that you touched the back of your leg? You know? When was the last time you touched your butt? Really seeing how that felt. Not from a visual point of view. So you're in the bathroom, lights are off, and you're doing this. Or for those of you who have the workbook, you can do this during your getting naked time. It's about getting into these practical applications. Begin to do that. Begin to touch. Begin to feel. Begin to touch. This is how you're going to make the connection. Yes. Well, I'm going to open it up for questions or comments if you guys want to do that. We have about 26 minutes. I think they're going to let us go in the forum tonight. And I guess we are getting a little bit of an after-hours show tonight. And again, I'll say for those of you who are driving and riding and traveling during this time of the year, definitely take Anubis with you and be safe on your journey as well as you go to your destination and spend time with friends and family. That's going to be important as well, too. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call, you guys. Yeah, I know you guys are still hanging in there with me. If we don't have any questions, we can definitely close out until Sunday night. I definitely enjoyed this share with you guys. We're going to do gems. We're going to do gems on Sundays. So lots of information there. We're going to take a little bit of a shopping trip. I'll have some surprise guest that's going to come on and talk to you guys as well too, but we're going to be talking about the gems and the crystals and how to use them for activation, all of that good stuff, all the good stuff that we do on the remix. If you guys like the show, I want you to like it. If you love it, leave a comment too over on the remix page, over on Facebook. If you're not a member over there, definitely go over there and be a member. Know that you can always connect with me as well, too, as and just an email question, QUESTION, the number 4, blue, @gmail.com. And myself or Sister Manya will respond to it. The Oracle deck is on its way. We're going to be talking about that on Sunday as well, too. And you guys will get to hear some amazing shares from the very powerful sister who did the artwork and really that magnificent journey all over the continent and even get to see some of the things from the deck as well. So lots of goodies planned for Sunday's show as well, and just lots of fun things. I always enjoy my time in the remix. You guys are amazing, and continue to keep knowing your magic. And see you guys then. Well, I don't think we played Baby Blue, so I'm going to play a little bit of Baby Blue. And if we don't have any questions, then we're going to get ready to close out. And I'm going to go hang out on Facebook a little while, just a little while, maybe not a lot, but just a little while there so you guys can join me over there on the Remix Family page and we can talk about that as well, too. So we'll be right back.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wen, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
All right. All right, everyone. Well, that's going to do it for us here live in the remix. I so enjoyed this time. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And you guys definitely is a part of the remix with myself as well. And so this is a place where we come and raise the energy, raise the frequency, and clear out all of those things that we wish to clear out. We continue to learn and grow. And so I'm very thankful for each and every one of you. Know that from my heart to your heart. You know, I wish you nothing but peace and blessings as you continue on your journey and as we continue to share and care for each other. So I'm going to get ready to go. I'm going to dance myself on over to dance myself over to the Remix Family page over on Facebook. I will see you guys then. Don't forget to download. Peace and love, everyone. Peace.